Mark Cohen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Bean.
Well, that hurts. Good cough to start the show.
Apologize.
It's Powell, not me. It's all right. I like it.
That wasn't me mocking Clayton Thorson.
Well, there's one guy that's going to have a little trouble, I would think, when the head hits the pillow tonight. That is a tough loss for the Northwestern Wildcats, who won 10 games last year and played on New Year's Day. It's not over, team. It's only one game, but that's not the way you wanted to start the season. 22-21, Western Michigan comes into Ryan Field. P.J. Fleck, the former Northern Illinois University Husky, doing a great job taking what was a once one-win Western Michigan team and clearly making them very competitive. Northwestern gave the game away today. I think it's fair to say when you're at the one-yard line, half-yard line, and you fumble, that is giving the game away. No other way around it. Clayton Thorson on the play. We're going to have Mike Pereira, who does a phenomenal job, former official, works for Fox Sports. You know, he looks at every play. He's the guy that jumps in with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. We're going to have him at 3 o'clock. I still don't quite understand what happened on the Thorson fumble. I mean, he fumbles at the goal line. If you missed it, the ball gets like spun out. Western Michigan's Devontae Ginwright recovers it in the corner. He catches the football. He throws it back in. Northwestern then pounces on it. Apparently, that if he had stayed in bounds, Northwestern recovers. It's their football, which in essence would have been a touchdown since they recovered in the end zone. But the ruling was that Ginwright was out of bounds, and so the call stood after they reviewed it. But when you watch the replay, which Northwestern fans know from the Wisconsin game, amongst others last year, sometimes the officials are not really on point on what happened in the replay. So, by my count, Northwestern should have won the football game, Kevin Powell.
Adam Hogue, I've watched the replay multiple times. They blew
I'm Mark Carmen.
What did I just say?
You called me Adam Hogue.
Oh, I'm in for Adam Hogue. I apologize. They blew the call.
I probably would rather be Adam Hogue. They blew the call, right?
No question. If you watch the replay, Devontae Ginwright is about to make one of the dumbest plays we've seen in a while. There's no reason he should be throwing the football back into the end zone. Northwestern recovers. It should have been a touchdown. If you watch the replay, so the official said he was out of bounds with the ball still in his hands. His foot was out of bounds. If you watch the replay, his foot was off the ground as the ball left his hand. It went back into the end zone, recovered by Northwestern. That should have been a touchdown. That was the call.
But I understand what Ginwright was thinking, right? He's thinking the ball's loose.
It would have been a touchback in Western's ball.
But nobody had possession. Like, the ball spun out.
It popped out of the last possession was Northwestern's.
Right.
It was in Clayton's hand. It bounced through the end zone and out of bounds. That would have been a touchback Western Michigan's ball at the 20.
Okay.
So you could clarify that with Pereira, but there was no reason for him to save the ball.
Right. Okay, so I was thinking that they had to actually establish possession, but if Northwestern fumbles the ball out of bounds, you're saying
it's Western Michigan's ball.
It's Western Michigan's
ball. Game over.
Okay. And that's what ended up happening. Bottom line, Cats are 0-1. They've got your Fear the Birds, Illinois State.
That's right.
Coming in next Saturday, 2:30 kickoff.
I'll be there, Carm.
2 o'clock pregame.
I've had this one circled on the calendar for a while.
Are you going to come up to the booth? Give me a hug?
I'll probably stop by. I don't want to bother Mr. Cat too much.
Big WGN presence out there today. Leader of all men and WGN, Jimmy DeCastro, the Deacon, was all over the place today. Jackie, Paulus, Shanae coming in strong as well. I'd like to personally apologize to the Dave Ennett family. Karen Ennett, who's Dave's lovely wife, I did not know that she had what I would call a twin sister.
Yes.
They're actually like 15 months apart.
Yes.
But she walks in, and I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, am I just like getting a little bit older and can't recognize you? Because they look identical.
Right, because that happened to me once. I went up to the booth, and I was kind of just sort of hanging out up there, and she walked in, and I had only met Karen once, I think, before, and I'm like, your hair looks different.
Exactly.
You're sort of like doing, like, you know, the wheels are spinning a little bit, trying to figure out, okay, am I an idiot? Am I, like, not recognizing Mrs. Ennett, or what's going on here?
Yeah, Dave's wife, Karen, has
the best, by the way.
The best, great. Absolutely. Has straight hair, and the sister has curly.
Yes.
So I just looked at Dave. What I thought was Dave's wife said, "You changed your hair."
Right.
And she's like, "I'm not Karen." I'm
you know she was ready to answer that. That's probably happened to them once or twice.
I'm not Karen. Right. I knew that. Actually, I didn't. More importantly, are you having not more importantly, but very important, are you having constant hip or knee pain? Does it keep you from doing all the things you want to do? Well, it's time for you to feel new again. Visit the Hip and Knee Center, where they've performed thousands of successful outpatient minimally invasive joint replacements. What sets them apart? That's experience. Advanced techniques in hip and knee replacement performed by experts who focus, refine, and perfect the patient experience. No general anesthesia, no catheters, no blood transfusions, and no restrictions. Recovery is measured in days to weeks, not months. Renowned joint replacement surgeon Dr. Sean W. Palmer, founder of the Hip and Knee Center, is a national instructor for surgeon training and among the most experienced anterior approach hip replacement surgeons in the nation. Patients arrive from across the country, even the world, for his expertise, results, and commitment to service. Time for you to feel new again. Call 1-866-FEEL-NEW. That's 1-866-FEEL-NEW. Or learn more about the Hip and Knee Center at thehipandkneecenter.com. Mike Pereira, official Fox Sports, former NFL guy, and very relevant today with what happened Northwestern as well, right after the 3 o'clock news. This is 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
If you're a loyal Beat listener, you're used to the show starting right now. We got it a little bit early today because the Northwestern game went quick, and unfortunately, it went the wrong way. Cats fall to Western Michigan 22-21. I'm Mark Carman. He's Kevin Pollan for Adam Hogue. Adam Hogue is at his sister's wedding, so congratulations to the Hogue family.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks to Adam for letting me sit in. I wasn't sure where he was. I was guessing he was up in Lambeau. He's a Badger, correct?
Yeah, it's a good one, right? 2:30 kick today in Lambeau, Wisconsin and LSU.
The spread there was 14, Carmen. I know a lot of the Wisconsin fans obviously pumped. College game day was there, but LSU's going to roll Wisconsin, right?
Well, yeah, you would think. I mean, they got the Heisman, or one of the Heisman favorites, certainly top, I would say, three candidate in Leonard Fournette, who...
Monster.
I want to talk about that. We're going to have Mike Pereira from Fox Sports, the former NFL referee, and now you hear...
And the timing couldn't be more perfect, considering we had a controversial play and the Northwestern game, essentially, so...
Right, so we're going to talk to Mike, but I do want to get into Leonard Fournette with you, Kevin Powell, and with you, 312-981-7200. Here's a guy that if you... entered the draft last year, would have been picked in the top five. I mean, he's a freak of nature who averaged nearly 7 yards a carry last year.
Right.
He, you know, you look at him and you think Adrian Peterson, Jim Brown, Walter Payton. I mean, I'm not quite to that level, but on the college field, I mean, he is an elite, over the top five pick. Why would a guy like that play football his junior year? Because if you get hurt, man, you get nothing. Whereas if he just sat out and said, you know what, I'm going to sign my LSU jerseys for you at, I don't know, call it $250 a pop, and I'm going to train, and I'm going to have my workout day. And listen, I'm a running back. There's only so many hits in my body.
And this doesn't even have to be focused on Fournette. I think this could go in all of in college basketball or whatever. You know, I mean, with some players going to play in Europe, out of high school basketball players, instead of going to college and do the one-and-done type thing. I totally see that point, Carm. I'm with you. I mean, why risk it? This is also another broader conversation about pay for college athletes. And for him, he's going to get 25, 35 carries a game. Les Miles, the LSU head coach, I think has a responsibility to keep. I think he's going to look after all of his players, but... look, at the same time, LSU is a national title contender. Leonard Fournette, one of the best players in football. You're going to want to get him the rock.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, their backup, they say they're hoping to get the backup 10 to 15 carries a game. But for Les Miles, it's sort of a sticky spot. I mean, you want to win a national championship. Fortunately for LSU, they're supposed to be dominant this year, and maybe there's some blowouts where Fournette can maybe sit the second half of games. But there's a responsibility there, but if you're Les Miles, how do you handle the situation?
Well, and that's a great question, too. And listen, you brought up college hoops. So college hoops, you have to go for 1 year.
Right.
And you're also playing basketball, which is a lot less dangerous than playing football. Football, you got to go for 3 years. So
if you're Les Miles, what do you do?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if I'm Les Miles, right, and I've got some elite talent like that, I think it almost helps Les Miles, maybe hurts his program for the year. But if you're Les Miles and you say, look, you're going to be a top five pick, you don't need to play, I think that's a selling point to other elite recruits coming in. Hey, man, if you play phenomenally in your first two seasons, and I think that, and you think, and your agent thinks, your family thinks that you're going to be a top five pick, and you want to take that risk and sit out the year, we'll support you. We'll keep you in school. You could take out an insurance policy. We'll let you, you know, sign all sorts of jerseys, and we're out here to make sure that you get the best job you can get. And if you're going to be a top five pick in the NFL and you've established that, then we don't think you should take the risk of playing college football anymore. I think that could be a nice selling point for him. Whereas, hey, look at Nick Saban in Alabama. He's going to, or whoever you want to pick.
But I don't know how much of a selling point it is when Leonard Fournette's like a one in a. Players like Leonard Fournette aren't coming around all the time, so that's not a selling point you can give to a recruit every year.
And
also, what does it say to his teammates, to the rest of the team?
I mean,
how does that affect your program when you say, Leonard, you're bigger than this team, you're bigger than this program, sit and go pro?
Well, let's look at it this way. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that...
And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, I got you, but okay, let's say Kevin Powell was scheduled to be on the beat today.
Yes.
But then you got to call, hey, man, Carm, yo. ESPN just called me. They're gonna make me along. They're kicking out one of the mics. They're gonna put me on Mike and Mike in the morning, but they're not allowing me to host anymore.
Well, I'm a WGN lifer, Carmen. Well, you know the answer to that question.
Well, right.
I couldn't go head to head with Cochran in the morning.
All
like
right,
that.
Fine. Let's flip it around. GN,
I get what you're saying.
Put me in the hot seat. I would support you. I would support me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was his teammate and that's what was best for Leonard, I'd be like, okay, dude, we're going to miss you on the field, but I get it. Like, anyone else, anybody going the other way is just being selfish. And I understand that it could be looked upon as a selfish act by some guy who has another year of eligibility, or in this case, 2 years, and he's saying, I'm not going to play because I want to play in the NFL. But come on, man. I mean, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars. Marcus Lattimore, mm-hmm. It was a stud at South Carolina. There's a million of these stories, by the way, but here's one. Marcus Lattimore was a stud running back at South Carolina. He ends up getting hurt, blowing out his knee. He gets drafted in the late rounds, never plays a down in the NFL. I mean, those stories are not – it's not singular. So, I mean, I just
– I think the knee-jerk reaction that Fournette probably has and a lot of people probably has is, no, you got to get out there and you need to play. You need to help LSU win games. That's the knee-jerk reaction. That's the snapshot thought, I think, for a lot of people. But as we've been saying, I think when you sort of break things down and bring some perspective into it, that this is one season. Nothing is guaranteed in terms of championship for LSU, where Leonard Fournette could play 10 years in the NFL and make millions of dollars.
Right, and he wants to play. I mean, he's very...
Oh, there's no question. You know somebody like himself. The guy just loves the game.
Right, he loves the game. He loves being at LSU. He loves being a college kid. He loves going out on that field. And I get all that. I wouldn't want to give it up either. But sometimes you just got to be...
I think at this point now, obviously, it's, you know...
It's going to be pretty cool to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I hope he stays healthy. I really do, because I want to see how he translates into the NFL.
And let me give one bit of uplift for Northwestern fans right now. Kind of talking to myself right here. On September 16th, 1995, there were 26,352 people in attendance, and the Northwestern Wildcats lost to Miami of Ohio at home 30-28. Now, that was the year they went on to the Rose Bowl and lost to USC in that scene. Where?
So you're saying they're going to the Rose Bowl?
I'm not saying that they are.
You heard it here first, folks. 3:15, market. Mark Carmen.
I'm just saying the season ain't over. That was week two that year, and that, they lost that game after they beat Notre Dame in week one.
Can we talk about Northwestern just for an extra couple minutes here, Carm?
Sure, go ahead, Kevin. What do you got? What's on your heart or on your mind?
Okay, why did they lose this game? And but here's my question, because I'm looking at the stats and I watched about 80-90% of this game. Thorson, in the opening drive, was everything in the offseason what they had talked about, getting Clayton Thorson going in the passing game. Justin Jackson, not a huge workload, being more efficient on the running game. 23 carries, 124 yards, 3 touchdowns for Justin Jackson. Clayton Thorson, 15-22, 196 yards. That's pretty good. If you told me those are the numbers, you know, barring and looking at turnovers and things like that, how are they going to lose to Western Michigan? So what? How did they lose this game, Carm?
Well, they lost this game for a couple of reasons, mainly because they could not get to the Western Michigan quarterback, who was able to run free, make huge plays at key times today. There was it was a 3rd and 17, and he ends up using his legs to pick up 18. There were numerous times today where on third down, including on the final drive, I mean, Northwestern was going to get the ball back, and aggressive P.J. Fleck and the Broncos, give him credit. They threw it. I believe it was 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, whatever it was. They picked up the first down, and that was the game. I mean, the biggest plays of the game, you fumbled at the end zone with Thorson, which you would have gone ahead. And you also, on a 4th and inches, they just got it across with 5 minutes to go. So, today really was a game of inches. And Northwestern came up short in basically every single inch category. The other side of it is, and outside of just containing the quarterback, they didn't get him to the ground. And numerous times, Zach Terrell had a great game. He was 26 to 36, threw for a touchdown, 218 yards through the air, and he ran for 40, and those were a key 40 yards.
Wasn't that opening drive by Northwestern so refreshing? Because that's all we talked about offseason is getting the passing game going, finding balance, giving Thorson a chance to air it out, and he did, and he was accurate on the opening drive. And he's accurate for most of the game, really.
On that first drive, there was 15 plays. They threw it 9 times and ran it 6, which, you know, last year would be 12-3 in favor of the run.
Right. By the way, Tom Flacco got some playing time.
Yeah, little Joe Flacco brother.
Is Joe Flacco's younger brother elite? I think that's the question we need to ask.
That I don't have the answer. We'll throw that out to you. 312-981-7200. Northwestern fans, I know you're out there. If you want us to talk you off the ledge, we'll do our very best. Baseball fans, the Crosstown Showdown may be over, but who are the greatest Chicago baseball players of all time? Visit chicagotribune.com/greatest and vote for Chicago's Baseball All-Stars presented by Wintrust. We're still efforting Mike Pereira. We may have him, we may not, but we're going to take a quick timeout and more going on in college football. And we're going to have the Colin Kaepernick discussion at 3:30, so be here. Live that dream. Let's discuss it. Standing for the national anthem, now kneeling. 312-981-7200. It's The Beat. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. We have the big announcement coming up at 4:35 today.
Yeah, in the radio station pool on the big announcement, what it is, I got at 5-1, I got that you're pregnant. So I thought that was a pretty good bet.
Not a bad bet. I have not gotten sex changed, at least to this point.
Okay.
So
I was going off at 10-1, by the way.
Right. Well, I had a major epiphany the past couple of days. And as you know, Kevin, I'm always trying to raise the bar higher, trying to do things that much better.
Right.
Every day can be your best day. This moment can be your best moment.
I love it.
That type of deal. So yeah. I have a new goal.
You're going to be a life coach? I can see the Carm as a life coach.
I actually do like the concept of doing something along those lines. But, you know, I'm focused right now.
I feel like it would be easy to get people to pay you to be a life coach. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be a life coach because that would be the easiest job.
Well, you have a real responsibility then, Kevin. Do you think you could really make people's lives better? Like, you take that on. You're taking on people who are looking to grow and make moves. I mean, that's a big time responsibility. This is not anything to sneeze at. Powell, you don't believe in a life coach. You're an anti life coach guy.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. A life coach? Wait, come on. Well, I mean, I apologize. I'm not trying to offend anybody here, but a life coach?
Okay. People who are offended, feel free to yell at Kevin.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not trying to. If that's your thing and it's working for you, keep doing it.
Well, listen, you do work on your physical, right? You try to keep in shape. You're talking about. Okay.
Pump some iron here and there.
You don't want to work on the mental? Mental's just going to happen on its own? You're all good?
No, but I think just the idea of having a life coach. I mean, to me, you can work on the mental other ways, having friends, having family, things like that.
How are you on accountability? How's your accountability?
I'm accountable.
To yourself?
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty accountable. Not 100%.
All right.
Most of us aren't 100%. I'm not perfect, Carm, all right? I'm human.
I want to do a psychological profile on you, but I feel uncomfortable doing it right now on the air. Jim wants to weigh in on where the Northwestern went wrong today. Northwestern, if you're just joining us, lost to Western Michigan out of the MAC. Who is the MAC favorite, by the way? 22-21. Ouch. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, guys. First of all, even if the ball was recovered in the end zone, there was a 10-yard holding penalty on Northwestern.
Field goal good. Field goal good. Cats win, Jim.
Exactly. Okay, good point. Now, here, let's get to the play call. You have a quarterback that hadn't really run the ball the whole game, okay? You're talking ball security here. You're trying to possess the football. You snap the football with 20 seconds left on the play clock, okay, on second down, okay? You are in no hurry to score. There was 2 minutes and 54 seconds when the ball was knocked out of bounds. So we could have run another 15 seconds off. That would have brought it down to 240.
And, Jim, I think it was actually first down.
What?
Go ahead, Jim. I apologize. I thought it was first down.
Second down. That was second down.
Go ahead, Jim.
He fumbled on second down.
Jim, you're on a roll. Keep going.
P.J. Fleck had one timeout left. If he stops short of the goal line, okay, you have another down to punch it in, and you will run another 30 seconds off and burn one of his timeouts, okay? So there's no way to score. On top of that, you stated the statistics. They were marching the ball up and down the field on you, okay? You did not want to give them basically 3 minutes to score plus have a timeout, okay? That is brutal game time clock management.
Jim, just let's pause because we do want to be accurate. Kevin, and I just double checked, it is correct. It was first and goal at the Western Michigan 6 with 2:54 to go when Clayton fumbled. So there was a first down play.
So that's even more to your point, Jim.
That's even more to my point.
Exactly.
That's even more to my point. There was no hurry that he had to have an 8-9 yard touchdown run, okay? And what I'm saying is he had one timeout left on the Western Michigan side. You want to hand it to your ball carrier that's been handling it all game. A naked bootleg is a play. It wasn't a naked bootleg because there was a receiver on that side of the field. But it was a bootleg, and people are going to be coming up from behind on you. That's the problem, okay? Ball security.
Jim, we got you, and I appreciate the phone call. Look, it was not the best day that Fitz has ever had. Now, is it Fitz's fault that Thorson fumbled at the goal line and had it stripped out? No. Could he have given the ball to Justin Jackson, who had 3 touchdowns on the day, and would that have been a more safe play? Probably yes. Yes. The other side of it is there was an interesting decision in the first half, too. You had the ball on the Western Michigan 41, 42, 43-yard line. I've seen it put both ways on the internet as to what yard line they were on. I thought they were on the 41. Doesn't matter. 4th down and 4, creeping up towards the half, and the Cats went for it, which was shocking. Their defense had been on the field a ton, and maybe Fitz was trying to get the offense going and show some confidence in Thorson and the crew. I get that. But it was an odd call, and they ended up not getting it. Thorson was pressured, had to let go of it perhaps a little bit early. Ball was batted down. Western Michigan got the ball back, and then they went down the field and kicked a field goal right before the half. I was shocked that he went for it there. I think most people were. But, again, you know, he picks it up, then everyone says, oh, Fitz, great aggressive play, right? I mean, that's generally how it works.
Well, 7 total, 4th down. Total. Western Michigan went for it 4 times on 4th down. Northwestern went 2 for 3 on 4th down.
Well, and there you go. In the other side of it, if you're PJ Fleck and the Broncos, you have nothing to lose. You're going to be aggressive in that game, playing a Big Ten team on the road. You know, a program defining win, the whole deal. Quick timeout. We're going to talk some Colin Kaepernick after the 3:30 news. As that story conversation, it continues to build momentum. News in a second, 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. We're hip on this Saturday afternoon. 3:36, I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. 720 WGN, this is The Beat. Does anyone ever sound less hip than what I sounded right there? We're hip. We're cool.
You're never hip or cool if you say you're hip and cool. You know what I mean? You just gotta be hip and cool.
What happens if you wear a slacks with a Northwestern polo and a belt and you do a little...
You earlier were criticized for wearing khakis. You were quick to correct that and explain that there are slacks and not khakis.
Producer Alan Poppy was attacking me as he normally does, and I had to hold the line on Poppy. That's what you got to do with a Poppy. Poppy comes at you. Can't let Big Poppy take you down.
He's got those sneak attacks on you. Those are nice slacks, though, Carm.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. We are going to talk some Colin Kaepernick with you, and your conversation is welcome here. 312-981-7200. The second time since he got a ton of attention for not standing for the national anthem. This time he kneels down, and he has a teammate join him, safety Eric Reed, who will join him on Thursday as they both knelt down. And now... we're getting pushback from the police, the California Police Union.
The Santa Clara.
Santa Clara, right. They are threatening that their members might stop working 49ers home games after Kaepernick's protest of the national anthem. Santa Clara Police Union asking the 49ers to take action against Kaepernick, or it, quote, could result in police officers choosing not to work at your facilities. So, okay. The police feel like they're under attack unfairly from Colin, that he's not representing the facts, and a lot of people are on a lot of different sides on this one. And Kevin, we were talking about a little bit early today. Mm-hmm. It seems to, I think you. Well, here, let me hear exactly where are you at on the whole Colin Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem?
Okay, of course we can get this out, because this will be what everyone that defends him will quickly point to. It's United States of America. He can do what he wants, right?
Correct.
Sure. That's fine. Go ahead, Colin Kaepernick. This is America. Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should say it. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it.
Okay?
I'll say that.
Okay.
If he wants to do this, that's fine. It takes a whole lot of guts to me to take a knee during the national anthem when you're standing behind 200 military members, okay? I don't care what your thoughts are, Colin Kaepernick. That takes a whole lot of guts. I'll just say that. I will say talk is cheap. I know he wants to put up $1 million to community.
Well, he's acting, though, right?
The thing that really bothers me about Colin Kaepernick is his one-sided attitude towards the whole thing. That he's doing what exactly what America shouldn't be doing. This is not a one-sided conversation. This is not the police are wrong. This is not the civilians are wrong. This is there. Yes, there has been police brutality. There's also been cases where it was perceived that there was police brutality when there was not. It's also been the vice versa, where police officers were put in different spots and they acted wrong. There's no question. But 99.9% of police are doing the right thing. A majority of civilians, you know what I mean? It's not one-sided. Colin Kaepernick has taken this point that it is all the police officers' fault. And when he wore those socks to practice, if I was a San Francisco 49ers, I would have fined the hell out of him. I would have maybe suspended him. There would have been consequences for that. I mean, are you kidding me? What police officers go through every day, putting their lives at risk, and you're going to do that and mock them? It's a one-sided argument from Kaepernick, and he hasn't really put any thoughtful conversation to the media about it. He sounds like an idiot, to be honest.
So, okay. And for those who didn't see the socks, how would you describe the socks?
I would say they were cartoon pigs wearing police hats.
Right.
Which is not funny. It's not.
No.
Especially in the current situation and climate that America's in right now, it's not funny.
Right. And now that was... I agree with you that he should have been fined for wearing.
Should have been fined, maybe suspended, if not more.
Right. And so the 49ers have taken a very shocking, like the NFL, they will fine you for anything, right? If your jersey is not tucked in, if you don't have the right cleats and the color, they will fine you. But here, they've taken a very, you can or you can't stand, and it's your right, and the 49ers have been right there with them. I'd be amazed at what would be happening, by the way, if this was going on with John Fox and company. I don't think they'd be handling it the
same. I don't know if he'd be gone, because
it's a rough spot. But here, like, people.
Okay, so let's hear now. It's your point.
Okay.
Point counterpoint, Carm.
Well, here's my counterpoint. I think yes, of course. 99%, whatever percentage you want to put on it, of the people that are out there to serve and protect us do a phenomenal job. However, there have been many, many instances over the last year or so that have, because of social media, that we get to see now,
and it's
incredibly disturbing. And so Colin Kaepernick, like the rest of us, are becoming more aware of that, and he's angry, and he wants to lend his voice to the fight for making the part of the world that is wrong, he wants to make it right. So I respect that. The other side of it is, what could he possibly have done that would have gotten more attention than what he's doing right now? I think somebody's already yelling at me from outside the window. What could he, him sitting at the national anthem, you know, people are like, well, how can you, why would he do that? Well, listen, the amount of attention that's on this is huge.
I could take my clothes off and run down Michigan Avenue naked. That's going to garner attention. Doesn't mean I should do it.
Yeah, bro, okay, but if you had a cause that you were trying to get out there,
right,
then
that would be dumb.
Well, yeah, but he's getting, do you understand how much attention he's gained and how much conversation has been?
That's not I get what you're saying. He has this stage, he has this platform, and he's utilizing it.
Right.
But his message is wrong, is what bothers me.
Well, what's wrong about his message?
It's a one-sided. It's that he's aiming at police.
I mean,
at police officers across his country.
Hold on. He has stood up at his locker for 18 minutes, answered every single question, and has said stuff like, you know, he's not saying that all the police are wrong, but there is.
He's giving that perception, Carmen. Those socks, I'm telling you, it bothers me because it's not right when police officers are also being put in horrible spots. Against civilians.
The socks were his worst.
It's a two-way street here, and he's making this seem, and this is what's wrong, is everybody thinks it's so black and white that it's one side versus the other. This isn't sports. This isn't the Bears playing the Packers. This isn't the cops against civilians, okay? This is real life. This is very sensitive, and it takes a lot to break down. It's not just one little thing.
Right, but would you agree, though, that having discussion, bringing things to an uncomfortable place, all of that is to a benefit?
Yeah, but this conversation's already been going on. I don't think Colin Kaepernick's broken any ground with this.
Well, dude, I mean, what national...
What is Colin Kaepernick? How has this brought any sort of progress?
Well, you've got different...
Because we're talking about it. Carm, we were already talking about it.
Yeah, but...
We were talking it a lot.
Yes and no. Like, I feel like it was... To a point, it was dying out, and now he just brought it back in. I mean,
it's not dying out. Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo have been on national media talking about violence. LeBron James has been talking about it.
Well, let's talk about that. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo gets up there with his Instagram. How much attention did that get?
They talked at the ESPYs, got quite a bit, and I think that's more respectful. This is like the reality show mentality in America that, oh, look, everyone's talking about Colin Kaepernick. Everybody's looking at him. Okay, but what is he really saying, and what is the depth there? What do we have from him? Just because he's being goofy and he's being outrageous by doing this doesn't mean it's the right thing. I mean, what Carmelo did and LeBron by standing up and giving and making points at the ESPYs in a formal setting to millions of Americans and bringing that conversation, because that did go viral and a lot of people watched that. That's the way you handle things. You don't take, if he wants to again, do it, fine. Go ahead, Colin Kaepernick. Again, it takes a whole lot of guts to me to take a knee during the national anthem when there's 200 military members standing on the football field that have defended this entire country.
Right, but there you have seen the hashtag Veterans for Kaepernick, right? There's a lot of people who have served for this country who are supporting him. I mean, they're calling it a completely American move. Go ahead.
I would say that, sure, it's an American move because he can do it.
Yeah,
sure. Congratulations, Colin Kaepernick. He has brought no progress to this matter whatsoever.
I don't agree. I think that any time that, listen, conversation sometimes is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to get people angry, and that's fine. Like, we don't always need to be comfortable about it, and we can look at the divide. And you look at how the big time national media is handling the story and the where it's falling along racial lines. I mean, that's out there as well. And the other people are saying, like, look, you made all this money in this country. If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't have that thought. It's not, you know, be well, with us or whatever.
But that part of it's like, dude, this is a guy who shouldn't the people that actually have have the means, have the dollars.
Yeah, but like I was saying, talk is cheap. You know what's not cheap? Building community centers in rough neighborhoods, reaching out to programs, giving education to poor areas in this country, to giving proper technology to poor areas in this country. That's not cheap. You know who has a lot of money? Athletes. And Colin, again, he has said that he will give $1 million. That's great. This is what we need. We need actual tangible things, not talk. There's been a whole lot of talk, Carm, from these athletes. And a lot of them are stepping up. I'm not saying none of them are. That's great. I just think that people hide behind the First Amendment, and I shouldn't say hide behind it, but people always point to it and they think they can say anything stupid they want, and they just go, oh, it's freedom of speech here in America. Okay, it's not what you say, it's how you say it, Colin Kaepernick. It's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Yeah, and listen, he can't go to jail for...
No, that's great.
But he can get fired, you know, right?
Shit, he's not a good quarterback.
Well, take him on the Bears over Cuddy.
What?
Flip a coin. I take him as
that is a stretch, my friend.
It's a drop of a stretch, but listen, I would take him as the backup over Brian Hoyer.
Oh, of course.
Okay, yeah. So let me read you something. Martin Luther King Jr., April 16th, 1963. This is a letter from the Birmingham jail. First, I must confess that over the last few years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I can't agree with your methods of direct action, who paternalistically feels he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by the myth of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait until a more convenient season. Now, I'm not saying that what Colin Kaepernick falls completely under that umbrella, but the fact that things are a little bit uncomfortable right now, to me, that's okay. And should he have worn the socks? Absolutely not. But he is getting it from all sides. There are African Americans who are coming out of the woodwork saying you're not black. I mean, that's going on, right? Rodney Harrison.
But here's the thing, Carm. I mean, the conversation has almost become should he or should he not stand during the national anthem.
That's fine, and then we're missing the point.
This is a misguided attempt by him.
Well, okay, but that's on people who are having the discussion to turn it.
I just think he's off point, and I'm totally fine. You think I'm turning the conversation?
You're turning the conversation into, hey, let's get off the whether or not he should stand, and let's have a real conversation.
Exactly.
So that's cool. I think that's great.
But I just think the way he's going about, I don't like it, Carm. I don't. I don't think it's the right way.
I hear you, Kevin. You're not alone. 312-981-7200. Thoughts on this? They are welcome. It's 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Back in 2 minutes. 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He is Kevin Powell talking about Colin Kaepernick right now. Your phone calls are welcome. 312-981-7200. Get to you in a second. Let me just give you the update, right? He sits on Thursday. He kneels down. He's joined by teammate and safety Eric Reed. He had a roughly 90-minute conversation before the game with Nate Boyer, who's a former Army Green Beret and long snapper. Okay? Kaepernick shifted gears in an effort to be more respectful to those offended by his protest. I guarantee this conversation was happening because of those socks. And this was Kaepernick. We were talking to him about how we can get the message back on track and not take away from the military, not take away from pride in our country, but keep the focus on what the issues really are. As we talked about it, we came up with taking a knee because there are issues that still need to be addressed, and there was a way to show more respect for the men and women that fight for our country, okay? So he's talking to Green Berets, and then he continues on. Once again, I'm not anti-American. I love America. I love people. That's why I'm doing this. I want to help make America better. I think having these conversations helps everybody have a better understanding of where everybody is coming from. These conversations, he continues, are important to have because the better we understand each other, the better we know each other, the better we can deal and communicate with each other, which ultimately makes everyone, puts everybody in a better position. So, I give the guy a ton of credit, man. He's out there, he's taking heat, and he's discussing it with people in the service. And the bottom line is, we have a huge divide. We do, and it's about time that we take a major step. 2016, man. He's the 3,000 people shot in the city.
I'm with you, but I'm not trying to validate what I was saying earlier. But that's a clear example of when he started this, it was misguided. He's already made changes to his protest,
and
when he started it, it sparked the wrong conversation, which was patriotism and disrespect to America and anti-American. That's not his message. And his message, I think, is a good one, although the sock still rubs me the wrong way. So I still do think Colin Kaepernick is very one-sided in this matter.
I get the sock problem, but and if you're just joining us, he wore socks that had basically made the cops. It was like a pig face cop with a helmet. It just was wrong. All right, Lee, real quick, we're up against it. Then we'll get some more calls after four. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, first, this whole ordeal has brought some enlightenment to what's going on. Francis Key Scott did write this, and the third verse was associated to slavery. He hated every minute being guarded by supposedly slaves that the British had promised their freedom if they would have won. 6,000 of them, by the way. And he wrote this verse as a retribution against the slaves because he was a slave owner. And I never knew this. And I think most of America did not necessarily understand this until this week. But please look up the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner and tell me if you don't think that this probably is the wrong national anthem for this versus, say, America the Beautiful, which people have been advocating now for the last 20 or so years.
Fair enough, Lee. Appreciate your passion. We're up against news here. I wish I had more time for you, but thank you for getting it. I think you got your point out there. All right, we do need to take a quick time out, and we will continue this conversation after 4 o'clock, the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner being thrown out there. Hey, this is what we're here for, 720 WGN.
Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
It's time for Wildcat Insider.
On the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
720 WGN, it is time for our Wildcat Insider. We're going to get back into the Colin Kaepernick discussion with you, too. So if you are on hold, you want to hang on, 312-981-7200. We'll get there, but we got to check in on our guy. And, I walk into Ryan Field today a little bit before 10 o'clock, and Dave Annett looked like he had just ran Mount Kilimanjaro and back. I mean, Mr. Cat was geared up and ready to go, and I know that one loss to start a season is not going to get you down, Dave Annett, our sports director and leader. I am counting on you to keep everybody positive after one little loss, right? This is no time to throw in the towel, Dave.
Well, no, I mean, look. A perfect example is Stanford. They came here last year, and look, that loss kept there was reference to that loss all year long, the way they started the season, but safe to say they recovered pretty nicely, didn't they? And I think that Northwestern obviously has some things to clean up, but I think a lot of the hopes and the ambitions for this team are still there. They just have to get things together, and it's not going to be easy because their schedule is a very difficult and demanding one, but that's how you want it, right? I mean, they're not playing easy teams, and I don't think anybody expected this to be an easy game.
Well, and Dave, I guess the looking on the bright side of things, all we had talked about, a whole lot of it leading up to the game was the offense and the passing attack. We seemed to see a lot of improvement there tonight, didn't we?
Well, I think when Clayton Thorson had time, Kev, I think that he played pretty well. I think overall he played well. I think he did show some improvement, and I think that you saw it especially in the last two possessions by Northwestern. I mean, they took it down, they scored, it felt like they were on their way to the go-ahead score there with just under 3 minutes to go when the fumble occurred and the play that turned the game for good. But, yeah, I think he played well, I think, offensively. I mean, there was some pressure on him. That was an issue, and, I think at times – We've seen what Justin Jackson can do, and still he needs somewhere to run. And there were a couple times he didn't get it. When he had it, you saw him turn into the explosive runner that he is and make huge plays for him. So, you know, and I think that those are the kinds of things that they can fix. And defensively, I think the concern is that the pass rush was not what it was expected to be. And so that's another area they got to shore things up. I thought for the most part, the coverage was pretty good. But the quarterback for Western Michigan, Zach Terrell, had a lot of time back there.
Dave, have you had a chance to review that final, the fumble out of bounds? It's been a buzz on social media. We've been talking about it. A lot of people think the officials got it wrong and that Northwestern either, I believe there was a holding call there anyways, but they should have retained possession, correct?
I mean, right. I actually just talked to Pat Fitzgerald about 5 minutes ago about it, and there was confusion. There was never a real clear explanation of what happened there. As far as Pat's concerned, you know, they were trying to get the fumble, the actual fumble by Clayton Thorson. There was some thought that he was down. So whatever, there was some indecision on that. But basically what it appears it should have been was illegal batting, and there was the holding penalty on Northwestern. So the penalties would have offset, but Northwestern still would have had the football. But look, here's what I said to somebody after the game. You know, last year, and I go back to that game, I think I might have said this on the broadcast, I go back to that game at Wisconsin at the end of last season, where not one but two apparent Wisconsin touchdowns were overturned after video review. So sometimes the video gods are on your side, sometimes they aren't, and I think that might have been the case today.
You did say that on the broadcast. I was driving back listening, Dave, and you know, I was saying, yep, that is accurate. And then the other thing is, you guys were talking about Jeff Bazine doing sideline today for Adam, was doing a great job. He's talking about how Clayton said to the huddle that before he went out for that final drive, which ended up in the fumble, we've got this. And like, I just heard in your voice that, well, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but you've been there so many times over the years with this team, Dave, right? Where they've just come through when they absolutely had to. And I go back to, and we, you know, I brought up 1995 opening week, they go and they beat Notre Dame, and then they come home and lose to Miami of Ohio by two, right? And people think, well, that's the same old Northwestern. I don't, this team to me looks like they have the capability, Dave. I guess my overall point is here that they can be right there. They can throw the ball better this year, certainly, and the defense should be better than it was today.
Yeah, and I think it will be. I think that's a great observation. I just made that same comparison to somebody. I said, look, they beat Notre Dame. Then after the bye week, they lost to Miami of Ohio. A MAC team came in here and beat them. A good MAC team, just as this one was today. And then they didn't lose again until the Rose Bowl. That was 21 years ago. The Notre Dame win was 21 years ago yesterday. And look, Pat Fitzgerald was part of that. He knows that. We see this all the time in all sports, but you do see it in college football. Look, I mean, half the teams in the country are going to lose today, and a lot of those teams are going to turn out and have great seasons. But clearly, it's going to be tough because they got to worry about these Fear the Bird guys coming in next week.
They're calling it the game of the century, Dave. The Redbirds of Illinois State against Northwest.
I understand you would say that, Kev. And they, I mean, it's not easy. Then they got Duke and Nebraska coming in, but I think they'll bounce back. I really do, and I think that Western Michigan, I think this was a bowl game for them. There was no question. They hadn't beaten a Big Ten team since 2008. They played Michigan State very tough to start last season. They didn't end up winning that game, but look, they gave them a game, and Michigan State ended up having a pretty good year. So I think that the Wildcats will be able to bounce back, but clearly they have a lot of things. Time of possession, you know, they had a chance. After that first drive, I really thought, okay, they got a chance now with this defense. They can take control and really dominate this game. That didn't happen. They didn't play well in the second quarter in particular, and it came back to bite them. But, you know, I think they showed enough today that They'll get to work. There's no question. They'll get back in here tomorrow and be back at it.
Voice of the Wildcats. Is it 31 years, Dave Ennett?
27.
27.
But who's counting?
I think.
Don't age me anymore, will you?
Well, I think your wife said 31 in the booth today. I'm pretty sure I had that.
Well,
so she's the one doing that. But I like
That's our marriage. That's not my years in the booth.
I'd like to apologize to your wife and her family for confusing Karen with her sister. I did not realize that was going on. So please get me back in good graces there.
I will. Or confusing our marriage with my time at Northwestern, which is pretty similar.
Carm calling her out. Now I
feel like I just stepped into something that I'm super uncomfortable. I'm assuming when you talked to Fitz a second ago, you did not mention the fourth down call in the first half, which was kind of surprising when they were on the Bronco 41 and went for it, but maybe you did.
I didn't. We didn't have a chance to talk about that. But, yeah, I mean, it was a little bit surprising, especially given the way that Western Michigan had moved the ball. But, look, I mean, sometimes he's been criticized for not going for it on fourth down in some of those situations. So... I think they went for it on fourth down on that opening drive to start the game. Mm-hmm. And in fact, scored a touchdown on fourth down, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, sometimes those things work out, and I'm not going to look at one play and say, man, that changed the game. I think there were some other plays that probably did, but I'm not sure that was one.
No question. No question. But, you always nitpick a one-point loss, and that's if you're going
to – Sure.
That's one.
Absolutely. Yep. That's part of it.
Yep. Yep. That's the fun of doing this portion of the sports world. All right.
Exactly.
Dave, you've been working since, I believe, 7 in the morning, so we'll let you get on to your real life of
– I'm gonna sit back and listen to your show.
I'm sure.
Have a good weekend, Dave.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Happy holidays.
See you, Dave.
See you.
Dave Ennett, our sports director, voice of Northwestern, and leader.
The GOAT.
That's right. All right. I do want to continue the Colin Kaepernick discussion with you coming back here. We had a ton of texts on it. I want to hit on some of those. And there's more stuff that Colin has said around it that I think gives more context to what he's trying to do. So we'll do that coming right back here Sunday at 1. The White Sox tangle with the Twins, then catch the Cubs in Milwaukee Monday at noon. Watch all the action this holiday weekend on WGN-TV at 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carman. He's Kevin Powell. Thanks to our sports director, Dave Ennett, for jumping on. For our Wildcat Insider, we're moving back to Colin Kaepernick right now. And 312-981-7200. Get to your text in a second here. So Kaepernick takes a knee along with his safety and teammate, Eric Reed. And there's others around the NFL who are joining him. People are, of course, super upset. Santa Clara police are threatening to not show up at 49ers game to protect the stadium. We'll see how that moves along. Kaepernick, after the game, right, the Niners 31-21 preseason finale victory, right, that this is back on Thursday night. Kaepernick stays for a good period of time, signing autographs, bunch of 49er fans, speaks to the media for 16 minutes, announced his plan to donate the first $1 million he makes this year to help communities in need as part of his plan to take a more active role in combating racial inequality. And his quote was, "It was something I was thinking about to try to make sure that I'm not just talking about something, but I'm actively being involved and actively trying to make a change in these communities. And I've been very blessed to be in this position and be able to make the kind of money I do. And I have to help these people. I have to help these communities. It's not right that they're not in the position to succeed or given these opportunities to succeed." All right. I mean, that's what you're talking about, Kev. I mean, that's what you want, right?
Yes. I just think that his point is I just have a hard time trusting him because I think of those socks. I think of where his true intentions are. I think that he has completely brought this matter as a one-sided argument. I don't think he's seeing all sides to the story. I don't. I think he's pointing at police.
Well,
and that's all.
Right.
And he, and I'm sure, I will say this real quick. But some people texting in and people have made this point, calling him spoiled. He's rich, blah blah blah. That has nothing to do with this story.
Well, the point is that listen, and you know, other people are making the point that hey, you know, he's biracial, which by the way, some African American people are in big time. You know, Rodney Harrison played in the NFL. Commentator saying he's not black. I mean, are you kidding me? The fact that he has money, shouldn't people who have made dough and have a platform, wouldn't it be incredibly selfish if they're like, hey, I'm good, the rest of you figure it out? That would be nauseating, wouldn't it? I mean, come on. Here's a guy who's has an ability to now. Is every step that he's made along this process correct? No. And one of them, listen, the Green Beret gentleman who we met with, he wrote an open letter on armytimes.com, Nate Boyer, who played in the NFL for the Seahawks, who's a Green Beret. He writes a letter, Colin, you can read this, but I'll read it to you because I like reading to you. Colin, I'm a big fan, thank you. I've been pulling for you ever since I first saw you play in the 2012 preseason. I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, been a diehard 49ers fan as long as I can remember growing up. I was Joe Montana for Halloween 2 years straight. I proudly wore the red and gold for an afternoon. Were you ever a Joe Montana, a Walter Payton or something?
Jim McMahon, maybe?
Jimmy Mack?
Yeah.
I love McMahon. For an afternoon. I had a trial with the 49ers last spring. I ultimately ended up in training camp with the Seahawks, but I'll never forget the one day I got to be a 49er. I don't know a lot, but I do know that I catch a lot of flack for expressing my opinions, something you are now very familiar with. I also know you support the military. God bless our troops is written on the football that you and former 49er teammate Colt McCoy signed for one of the charities I work with. The football currently sits in my parents' house. My dad bid the highest at the charity auction. Unfortunately, I also know that racism still exists in our country. I mean, this is a military guy writing to him who played football. Unfortunately, I know that racism still exists in our country. He's also white, Nate Boyer, as it does in every other country on this planet. I hate that I know that. I hate that the third verse of our national anthem, which has been talked about a lot, but thankfully we don't sing that verse anymore. I hate that at times I feel guilty for being white. And so he continues on. You can read the rest of the letter.
Okay, but here's the thing, Carmen. This is my point. This is my entire point of the Kaepernick thing, is that, again, he is bringing this forward at a – he's not looking at all sides here, okay? He's not. I think he's really he can say that. He can say this is about social justice for all. But from what he said from the sock thing, which I will refuse to let go of, Carm, because I think it says a lot to do something like that. He was trying to get a message across. It's completely one-sided. And I think he's going after police when it's a much larger issue than that. Has there been police brutality? Yes, of course there has, Carmen. We address that, and that's horrible, and that needs to be fixed. There's also a hell of a lot of civilians that are hurting and killing each other.
We're getting a lot of texts in here. I'm trying to boil.
By the way, Colin Kaepernick's
well.
Jersey sales have spiked.
Well, fine.
They've went from the 20th. Oh, no, I'm just pointing this out. Just a little nugget. He was 20th bestseller on the team's website. Now he's the third bestseller.
Let's see. There's one guy on Twitter, Baltic_Avenue, hashtag veterans for Kaepernick, because I didn't volunteer to defend a country where police brutality is swept under the rug. I mean, there's a lot of NFL guys, random guys. And listen, again, Kevin, and we've said it on the station 1,000 times, the people that protect us via police or in the military, we're all incredibly grateful. But there's also a lot of stuff going on right now that people are extremely upset about and has been going on for a long time. So I look at athletes like the greatest one that ever played in this town, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who did nothing. Zero. I mean, that's a little bit unfair, but he certainly never took any controversial stances.
You're right. The athletes need to take stances. I just don't like the way Colin Kaepernick has gone about doing it. Let me ask you this. What is his main target message here?
I think he's donating dough for community centers. I think he wants conversation around community leaders. I think he wants the police and community leaders to have more discussion. And he's one guy. I mean, he's getting a ton of attention because he's an NFL player, and he's sitting and he's now kneeling during the national anthem.
I just think that they're pigeonholing this conversation into police brutality. And that should not be what the conversation is about entirely. Of course, that's horrible. That needs to be fixed. There should be no police brutality. I'm just saying there's a lot more that goes into it. And there's a much more depth to this conversation, this issue. It's very complex.
Right. And the story continues to evolve. He's having more meetings.
And he should have done this. He came in this way. We talked about this earlier. You saw the letter, and he talked to the Green Beret, and he said he was going to knee instead of sit, right?
But
so we already started changing things.
It's right, like, but you're a lot...
You came into it a little misguided, Carmen.
Learn, grow, make moves.
There aren't learning curves when you're making this sort of stance on this sort of platform. You better go into this thing with the proper plan.
I'm allowing him to have missteps, just like I would like missteps to be allowed to myself at times. Like
Carm doesn't have missteps. Come
like,
on, Carm.
I do. I'm going to take a call right now, even though Dan told me to take a break. Well, because Jack's been waiting since yesterday. Jack, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Jack. I see
you,
buddy.
Yesterday at noon. Well, you know what? I appreciate you guys addressing the big issue, but since this is a sports show, I like to address a smaller issue. And if he was on our team, I would say he would have to go. There's no doubt about it.
Why?
Anytime you have a diversion from your focus of winning, it becomes a negative factor.
Well, he sat down with all of his teammates, right? They've had a private meeting about it, and they're supporting his right to do it, and they're also stating that they're going to do their very best to not make it a distraction. I understand it's not perfect, but they have discussed this as a team, Jack.
Oh, that I totally understand. But let me ask you this one question: out of the let's say 50 some players on the team, would you guess that maybe one of those players had a parent or a grandparent that was in the military or in the police force?
He's not anti-military, though, Jack.
No, okay, on the police force. And he may say, I appreciate your right to sit during the national anthem.
I mean,
do you think that's happening inside the locker room?
No, listen, Jack, great point. I'm sure he does not have complete support in his locker room. In that locker room, and somebody who perhaps was raised by somebody who was a policeman, fireman, whatnot, they might want to punch him in the face. But I would encourage both those two to actually not go passive aggressive route like we do in life. I love you, Kevin Powell. Have a conversation. Let's have the talk. Let's bring more to the table.
But what does he bring to the team actually?
Quality of football. That's a whole other conversation.
Totally true. I agree with you.
Jack, thanks for holding, man. Appreciate you jumping in.
Okay. Have a nice afternoon. Bye-bye.
And real quick, I know we got to run, but that's a perfect point of what I've been talking about, Carm.
Yeah, no,
Jack just went straight to military, and that wasn't Kaepernick's intentions. Just don't think it was well thought out. And I think it's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
312-981-7200. Take a couple more calls on this coming on back after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN. And I know that everybody's been on the edge of their seat waiting for the big announcement. It's supposed to come at 4:30, but I got to push it back. We're talking Colin Kaepernick and needs proper breathing room. I'm making a major move, thinking maybe 5:10, but we might have a guest on at that point. 5:30 could be a good time for the big announcement. We're here till 7. There will be a big announcement, and I'm going to need your support. Yours too, Kevin Powell.
Okay. I'm here for you.
I don't know if you will be or won't be, but I want your... Actually, you know what? I just want you to be honest.
Okay.
I want you to...
I'll always give you honesty, Carm.
Yeah.
By the way, you just said my name. 231 texts in, says, Carm, who's this guy hosting with you? Did he grow up in Mississippi or Alabama? Which one is it?
Yeah, which one is it?
Roll Tide.
Well, hey, stick with the winner. Roll Tide. Real fast before we get back to Colin, go Badgers. Wisconsin's up 13-0 on LSU in the third quarter at Lambeau. We'll keep you up to date. That would be big. And there are some people who don't want us to talk Colin Kaepernick. Your bar mitzvah would be more exciting of a topic from our guy Null in the 815.
How was your bar mitzvah?
You know, my bar mitzvah was very emotional for me because it was at least the party, the kid party, which is a big thing in the North Burbs. That was on a Sunday,
okay,
September 7th, 1986, and if you look that up, that was the opening game of the Bears season after they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So literally my entire school was at home watching the game and no one came. There was like
poor planning.
70 or so.
You should have made it a Bears watch party.
I should have.
At the Carms.
It was a mistake. I'm like, will somebody please come? 70 said yes, about 35 show. Do you know what that does for a 7th grader? / 8th grader, whatever
now,
I was.
Now I understand you a little bit more, Carm. I can see how the Carm turned out.
It was the end of bar mitzvah season. Everybody was bar mitzvahed out.
Is that summertime?
Well,
like wedding season kind of?
You know, it probably starts in, you know, I was a late birthday. I was an August birthday.
Okay.
So, you know, the Marches and the Junes and the Mays, so those were prime timers. You wanted to get invited to the big ones.
I understand.
You know, and then Carm, I mean, I was, you know, I wasn't Johnny Popular either. Struggling socially. I know that shocks you. And so I was like, I'm missing Carm. It's no big deal. And it was Bears. No status being at that bar, so not going. All this is true, by the way. I'm starting to feel pain.
Oh, Carm, I'm sorry, man.
Hackney's on Lake. I mean, we had a great onion.
Oh, yeah, great burger.
Yeah, great burger. Good onion loaf for you.
Not too far
out. You know, but it was a Sunday afternoon until, like, the big-time bar mitzvahs. Those were Saturday nighters, you know.
This was a lot more bar mitzvah talk than I anticipated today. Carm, would you like to continue, or would you like to get back on the Kaepernick train?
Let's get back to reality here. And we are talking about Colin Kaepernick and how this is going to go forward, because it doesn't sound like he's going to stop. And the last, the last game that he took a knee, that was military night in San Diego, which certainly added on to it. And now... I just like the fact that he's having a lot of conversations with a lot of people, military people. We'll see what's coming up next with officers. Santa Clara police are threatening boycotting. Hey, this would be cool. You guys need, there should be a meeting. Colin, let's have the meeting. That should go on. Nuclear Mike is on the line, 312-981-7200. And for the record, love is a strong word, but I appreciate the fact that Colin is doing his best to bring conversation to making our world a better place. So I'm 100% behind him in that. Let's get Nuclear Mike in here. 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Nuclear.
Good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I just, after Thursday, it was almost like a genuflect, kind of like a Catholic genuflect to God. Almost by Colin. I don't know if you saw that, if you could understand that, but...
You got to explain
I gained a little more respect because he's 28 years old. He's not a stud in the league. He's not a LeBron or a Carmelo or any of those guys. He doesn't have the platform that he was looking for that would gain attention right away. And I think he went about it the wrong way. The first couple of weeks, you know, putting the pig stocks on and, you know, sitting down during the anthem. But I think he gained a little bit of insight from a Green Beret who's been there and respects the military. And that guy stood by his side. So I understand it. I don't understand his message, but, you know, at least I don't have the disrespect of, like, burning his jersey. Like some of the guys.
People just do that to be idiots anyways.
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I'm being realistic. And
you're not completely with him, but
I think he has an important message. I just don't think he knew how to go about it.
Right. And Mike, you're helping me make my point, which I've been making for, you know, the past 30 minutes or so, is that I don't think his message was I think it was misguided is what I'm saying. I think that it was him coming out pointing a finger. And who was he pointing the finger at? Police officers throughout the country. When that's not the conversation that we should be having. The conversation is how to right the relationship between police officers and the community, because it's not one-sided. The police officers are not in the wrong entirely here. Civilians are putting themselves in positions that put police officers in bad positions. Yes, there have been police officers that have acted poorly. There has been police brutality. There's no question. But there's also a lot of civilians that are putting police officers in difficult positions. And that's a larger conversation. And it's so far what the Colin Kaepernick situation has become is it's everything now in sports and in politics and everything. It's black and white. It's you have to take one side or the other.
Well,
and that's not how it should be. It should not
because you know he's sitting down. Now he's genuflecting, and, you know, what's next? I don't know. I think he brought across a good message saying that he donated $1 million.
Right.
Whoever causes are going to step up. You know,
we got you, Nuclear Mike. Appreciate your phone call. 312-981-7200. Here. Okay. Eric Reed, safety, who joined him in kneeling, said he began thinking about joining Kaepernick earlier in the week, and the pair had a number of conversations. Reed had reservations about sitting down. Kaepernick understood the anger it caused in people, and the conversation with Boyer, who was the Army vet that wrote him, helped them find a middle ground. This is Reed. He saw that it hurt people that he sat during the national anthem. There are people that actually put their lives on the line for this country to give us freedom. We talked for a couple of days to figure out a way to be more respectful of those people and the national anthem of the country while still maintaining the stance that there needs to be bigger things done about these issues. And it was just today, actually, a couple hours before the game, we were like, hey, why don't you take a knee, and that way you're not isolated from the team. You're not sitting down during the national anthem. You're just changing your physical position, being more respectful to those people while still maintaining your stance on this issue.
This is just out of line. This is exactly what I'm saying, Carm. This is completely just a mess of a way of going about things between Kaepernick and him. What are you talking about?
How would you...
Maybe think this through a little bit, Kaepernick, before you go on to something like this and you have the platform.
I don't think it needs to be thought through that
much. Short-sighted by Kaepernick. I think if you're going to step on center stage like that and have millions and millions of the entire nation talking about it, you better have a proper message. You better have thought it through. You better have perspective on all matters, not just one side of the matter, one side of the conversation. You better have thought this through, and you better have had a game plan.
But I think it's pretty clear he's coming from the heart, and he's also
he fought with his heart, and it was too sudden, and he sat down and he said those things.
Sudden, nothing. I mean, this has been going on. We need some urgency here, right? I mean,
right. But you got to go into it with a game plan.
I think his game plan was to get conversation going, and that's it. And now he's in the middle of it. I think
his game plan initially was to get conversation that police are doing. I think it was him aiming at police.
He felt a calling, man. The dude has made a ton of dough. He sees, and again, this is a biracial guy raised by white parents. None of that really matters, by the way. Oh, he's got white parents. He's not really black. That's a ridiculous comment.
Yeah, we'll disregard all those comments. That doesn't matter.
So he felt called to do something, right or wrong, how he's going about it. What did Nuclear Mike say on the line?
He goes, I'm not exactly sure what his message is.
I think it's just very clear. He wants attention out there on Colin Kaepernick? No, I don't think it's about him, man. Maybe I don't.
There's a little bit there.
Sure. But listen, he's not like Tom Brady will stand up and say, you know, Donald Trump's a friend of mine, and then he won't answer any questions about it. Colin Kaepernick stands up. He stands at his locker for 18 minutes, for 16 minutes. He answers every question. I give him credit for that, man. I think he deserves it. Sally, welcome to WGN, Sally. 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Sally.
Well, I happen to agree with you more than the other gentleman because I really believe that our military fought for everyone, all the servicemen and women, and that they didn't. They're not fighting for a flag or a song, which I know the flag and the song are more than that. You know, the anthem is more than that. But what I mean is they fought for everyone's rights. They fought for people, not, you know, I mean, it's what's behind the flag. It's what's behind the, you know, the anthem, that it's people that they fought for. And I think that most would agree that he has every right to do that. Now, is it disrespectful? I don't like it. I got to be honest. I don't like it, but I believe it's his right.
Absolutely, I've been behind that the whole time since we started this, Sally. And I apologize if I haven't made that clear, but there's no question. If he wants to do that, that's fine. But I've also said that people that try to stand behind the freedom of speech and say, "Well, I can say whatever I want," just because you can say it doesn't mean you should. And you should
exactly. I agree with that, but I think he did have a platform. I think he did. He wanted out there what, you know, what he was upset about, what many, many people are upset about. You know, I mean,
he's not.
And that was his way of expressing it. You know?
Right. And okay. It's Sally, great call.
Yeah, thank you, Sally.
This is civil disobedience. It's been going on in this country forever, and it's impacted change forever.
I'm 100% behind trying to make a point, trying to get a message across, trying to make change. Of course, I'm not against Colin Kaepernick trying to bring any sort of social advancements to this country at all.
You're not under attack here, Kev. I want you to know that.
Oh, this is me working myself up, Carmen. Okay, I'm not getting upset with you. We'll hug it out later either way. It doesn't matter.
No,
I'm passionate about it, Carm. I think you're passionate about it. I think everybody that's listening has a very strong take on this matter. I just think that when he came into this, I'm not against an athlete stepping up and trying to get a message across and trying to make, you know, a movement, whatever you want to call it. Not at all. I just think his particular message is so misguided, and it's not right the way he began this. I think the message he was getting across was mixed, and I've said it 100 times now. It was misguided, the way he began this whole thing, the way he approached it.
Let's get one more call in here. Kathy, you've been waiting patiently, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yes, I agree with Kevin. I think he went into this with no end game. He didn't do the research he needed to beforehand when he was on such a national platform, and he didn't have a plan. So doing it the way he did, he blew his social equity.
What do you mean by that, blew it?
Meaning he is such a hot topic where he could have gone and say, I want to do this. I want to make the stand. I'm going to take a knee. I'm going to do these things, and then turn around and say, and I want these sponsors to get behind me for this purpose.
Well, the NFL,
he's blown that social equity.
Well, hold on. Okay, so what happens if he lost his sponsors? What happens if he lost money? What happens if he gets cut, Kathy, and he loses millions of dollars? I mean,
there's plenty of players that are no longer players but still have good social equity and can get corporations to give money to their causes.
So
they're not looking for personal. Like, if you're looking to make a change, you're looking to make a change for yourself, or you're looking to make a change for the greater community, which is what he says he wants. And if he wants it for the greater community, you want a foundation, you want a plan, you want something, you need money to do that. And you're taking off all these people with the big pockets.
Well,
you don't want to touch you because you're too hot.
Well, he's donating $1 million of his own money, right? And the fact that he's not beholden to major corporations on their dollars to do that, You don't see a value in that, or perhaps respect him for that?
No, I do see a value to that. The point is that because he went about it the way he did, the social equity he has. I've donated this $1 million. Here's the other 30 companies that also want to donate $1 million, and we're going to do something to make change. Not as many people want to match his donation because they don't want to be tied to him right now.
Well, and Kathy, appreciate your phone call. We'll see. The 49ers haven't cut him. The NFL hasn't disciplined him, so that's at least a passive support of him, right?
Sure, but it's also PR 101 here.
Well, right,
it's a sensitive topic, and it's a hot take, and I didn't mean to be the guy screaming into a microphone, but I think everybody has a very strong feeling about this whole matter. But again, I think for myself, it's just not so much of a black and white matter. I think there's a whole lot here, and I think Colin Kaepernick just took one side of things, and he also came in a little unorganized in his entire message here. But I think he was on one side, and there shouldn't be one side and another. There should just be one team here. Sorry to use a very sports cliche here. I really do. I think we're all on the same team here, and it's a very complicated matter.
Right, but we've got a lot of divide, man. Let's talk about the divide. Let's have a little conversation. Actually, a lot of conversation. That's really, and he's added his name to it. All right, we'll move on. So I give him credit, man. Way to, so Kevin and I, we got to talk about it today with you.
Look, Carm and I have opposite point of views on this topic.
815.
And Carm, I still love you, right? You still love me? One big team here.
Love you back, baby. All right. We'll get the news coming up in 5 minutes for you. 720 WGN.
We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
WGN 509 with you till 7 o'clock. Amy Gu with the Saturday special will be here at 7. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Kevin Powell. What
Did
just happened?
That?
Did you just hit yourself in the head with your headphones?
Let's paint a visual here. That was embarrassing, Carm. I may just gave myself a bruised eye, black eye.
I looked to my right, and I just saw your head crack back.
Look at Long's cracking up the producer booth.
I mean,
all right. So like headphones, you know how the ears sort of bend forward, so it clamps around your head. And I was like opening it up to get it around my big fat head, and I slipped out of my left hand, and it like sprung back to its normal state and hit me right in the eye.
You had a left hand slippage.
Hurt, Carm.
It didn't look great.
It kind of hurt. I'm not kidding.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that. And I consider you to be like a pretty good like hand eye.
I am.
You know?
I just got a little jumpy. Yeah.
Well, you just ran upstairs. You remember.
I did. I was a little flustered. I had to go get my chili that I got yesterday and didn't finish.
Where's the chili from?
A little Potbelly's.
A little Potbelly chill?
Good plug.
Good chill of the pot. All right.
Quickly, Kyle Long reportedly agreeing on a 4-year, $40 million extension with the Bears.
And $30 million of that guaranteed.
Correct.
That's
Bears. From Ian Rapoport, who's a pretty reliable source with the NFL Network. So as teams are making cuts, the Bears are extending guard Kyle Long. $40 million deal.
I like calling him at Ian Rapoport. He's actually at Rap Sheet. Ian Rapoport, Bears. We're hoping to save this for next week, but Chicago signing offensive lineman Kyle Long, 4-year extension, worth the $40 million per source, $30 million guaranteed. And then there's a tweet also from at Pro Football Doc saying that Kyle Long has a labral tear and likely will need offseason surgery, but can play this season with a brace. So I would expect Kyle Long to be out there next Sunday when the Bears kick it off at noon down in Houston against the Fighting Osweilers.
So why'd they give him an extension if he has a torn labrum?
Because they're the Bears. There's that, and I guess they feel like it's not that serious. Really looking forward to next Sunday when Hap will be and Kaz will be in studio, by the way.
With you, right?
Yes.
Best post-game Bears show in town, it really is. Tune in. That'll start at 3, Carm, and you guys will take that, 3-6 next Sunday after the Bears
blast the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
Or get worked.
You get to cover DeAndre Hopkins with that secondary that has, one starter that's healthy?
Right, and what's Brock Osweiler going to do? Again, as a starter, we'll see. Obviously, the Bears have had they look better on Thursday, but it's been a generally awful preseason. Expectations are minimal, but if they win game one and with that early schedule, there could be some momentum building. Okay, Kevin, you ready for the big announcement?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's all gather around.
Any sort of drum roll? This is the announcement Carm's been talking to us about for the past 48 hours or so.
Well, it came to me. I was out of town on
U.S. Open. We also have to get an update on that, Carm.
Right. So I was out of town at the U.S. Open this past Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Nice casual drop. No big deal. Just at the U.S. Open.
Well, and it's not as expensive as you think it is. For a value as far as sporting tickets go.
Okay.
I mean, we were getting in for. I was being a little creative.
You didn't pull media tag here?
No,
what?
No. Hard to get credentialed for the Open. They're coming from all over the world.
That's true.
And you got to apply way in advance. And I always forget, so I always end up scalping on the boardwalk and paying $50 to $70 for tickets. So we paid, I think it was $250 and $170. So that's not, you know. $50. You're there. You're literally there from.
Does that give you? Is that a daily pass type thing?
You can go to. You can get. That normally gives you a seat in the very top of Stadium One.
Okay.
Which you're
Arthur Ashe, right?
Yeah,
Arthur Ashe Court. Or
exactly.
Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Arthur Ashe Stadium. Okay. So you're literally like last row United Center.
Okay.
Okay. And then you can go to any other court. So you're front row on say Court 5 for some.
I've heard tennis court. I know someone that went to the big tournament in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, and it was the first tennis tournament. He's like, I'm going to go all the time now. He said it's awesome. You can walk around. There's a freedom to it.
I know that I get dogged for tennis. It is it's so good.
All right,
you love it, Kev, because in New York, at least, it's everywhere, but in New York. They got the fish shack. They got the prime. They got the prime
Beautiful.
Burger. They got the
Beautiful.
They got the fish and chip. A million different food options.
Okay.
The drink is the Honey Deuce, which is this like it's like a melon ball with like a lemonade and a something and
like
a vodka.
That's their popular drink, like the julep for the Derby,
right.
Sort of. Okay,
the Honey Deuce is for the Open.
Miller Lite,
okay. $10 Heinies. You know, that's
gotcha.
Okay, standard.
We've derailed this conversation
okay.
again. Let's get
so,
to the announcement.
So, and I'm always about life is the learn and grow. Let's always do better. There's no touchdown dance. We're always, you know, even if you're in the third, you're 60 plusers, you should be not sitting on the couch. You should be thinking about exactly what you want to do today, right? And how to you want to be living your life. Not. There's no, oh, I made all this money. Now I can just sit and relax. No. What's the next step? You should be doing exactly what you want to do, but you should be doing something.
When I have a ton of money, you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
Nothing and play golf.
Well, you say that, but we'll see what happens when you get there.
Trust me, the golf junkie, my goal in life will be to my next best score.
Well, and then maybe that will be. And that'll be something that motivates you to get on the course, and that's awesome. I plan on playing tennis until it's all over here, and tournaments, the whole thing. Hopefully I'll have some more freedom in time to do that 10, 20, 30 years down the line here. So, okay. I desperately, if I could go back in time, I really, really, really wanted to be a professional athlete more than anything right. else, or a college athlete, or a high school athlete.
And you came close, right?
Yeah, I was right on the cusp. It was right there.
Right after that JV year.
Right. Yeah, I was right there. So, you know, I'm watching the U.S. Open, and I'm seeing this talent. I'm thinking, you know, why can't I be Marco Bagdidis, 37 years old, still out there battling?
Oh, I love a Marco Bagdidis.
So solid.
Great forehand delivery.
The crowd was with him. It was great. Until he played the American Ryan Harrison, and they were chanting USA for him.
Absolutely.
So, but then, you know, reality is reality. And I realized that my tennis career is over.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not to that level. I'm gonna play my own tournaments on my own level, but you know, against Bill Leff. But I'm not gonna play at the U.S. Open. And I've also had this fascination or fantasy in my head that I want to be a referee, NBA referee, be on the court with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that gig is for young guys too. I'm in my early 40s. That's over.
How deep do they take that age-wise for professional?
You want to make it to an NBA referee? You best start in your 20s.
I mean, when do they retire? 60s?
60s.
Late 50s? 60s. Or so? Okay.
Yeah. So that's
Jimmy
not
Crawford officiated to what? He was 94, 95.
I think he
like
was
that?
108. But yeah. So but he had a long tenure. He was in his 60s when he retired. Okay. So that's out the window. Now. All right. I'm looking out at the U.S. Open,
okay,
and I'm seeing some guys running around the court, and most of them are young, but some are right in my age range. And I would like to officially announce that I want to be held to this. I would love a text every week. This next year, I'm going to do everything in my power to get quicker, to get my shoulder in phenomenal shape, to get my reaction time and my focus.
Agility.
The ability to be in rapport with people of power. I'm going to get that all.
Grit.
I'm going to get all of that as sharp as I can possibly get it. Because I am announcing, the big announcement right now, I will be trying out with the intent to make it as a 2017 U.S. Open ball boy.
All right, Carm. All right.
Now, tryouts this year.
When are the tryouts? Let's get training right now. Is this why you were doing push-ups during commercial
yes.
breaks? Are you starting
yes.
now?
Now, this is a thing. Like, you can go to the U.S. Open. Welcome to the homepage. Now, we'll make it this is 2016. 2016 U.S. Open ball person tryout.
Ball person.
Below, you'll find everything you need to join us. Okay, what? Approximately 80 sought-after positions as ball persons for the Open are up for grabs. Prospective ball persons will be evaluated by U.S. Open officials on their running, throwing, and catching skills.
Wow.
So you're on the end of the court, man, and balls are coming in. You got to fire them down to the other end.
Yeah.
Now you got the crowd to your left. You got a net in front of you.
I mean, you can't miss.
No, you got to be accurate.
Yeah.
You got to be able to throw it.
Can you throw? You don't look like a thrower, Carm.
See, I was as a young baseball player. I was an infielder.
Oh, you did play baseball,
right? But then I got mental and went to the outfield.
Gotcha. So you this had a Chuck Knobloch situation at second base, couldn't hit first.
Right. Now throwing a tennis ball, you don't have to be super accurate, but throwing a tennis ball, it's a light ball.
It's harder when it's lighter.
Right?
Baseball's a lot easier. It's got some density to it.
So I got to work on my throw.
Okay.
All right. So that's going to be
I can help you with that, Carm.
Okay. So I appreciate that. I'm going to need some help here. Now, the other thing is, I mean, you're sprinting on the court.
Yeah.
If you're at the net, it's mostly, you know, a lot of the guys are behind.
Right.
But if you're at the net, That ball hits the net. I mean, you're up and boom.
Right. Now, everyone's seen it on TV, and it almost looks comical, but this is strict.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is how things are done in the tennis world.
Right. And if you're behind the court, you're sitting there, you got the hands up with the ball, showing them to the player. They nod at you. Got to bounce it to them. Got to be an accurate bounce.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, a lot of times they're look at you with just complete disdain.
Stink eye, yeah.
Towel. So you got to run. You got to get the towel. You got to open the towel wide. You give it to them. They wipe their sweat off.
Yeah, you know what I'm always surprised by? I'm always watching. I'm like, put some, like, medical gloves on. You know, it's disgusting. These guys are dripping with sweat for 4 hours. I don't want to touch that.
Well, what happens if it was, like, say, I don't know, Serena Williams? Would you enjoy that sweat?
No. I'm not a big fan of sweat, Carm.
Okay. I'm all in.
I sweat, like, you know, horribly.
Right.
I mean, it's disgusting.
I mean, 312-981-7200. I'd love your support, and if you think I can do it. Or
Oh, Carm, I 100% think you can do it. I'm actually not kidding. Because earlier you said with the announcement, be honest. When I see the ball boys, they look like they're 15.
Some of them are.
Okay.
But there are people.
How large is the pool of tryouts?
I assume there's going to be a lot of people trying out.
You think in the hundreds, thousands?
I don't know. I really don't.
But only 80 spots up for grabs. They got to have some veterans that they probably just are automatic qualifiers, right?
Yes. I've seen a lot of those guys
that are probably doing the championships, the semifinals, things like that.
They've been there. They've done that. I'll take a last court boys and girls qualifying thing. You know, I don't need to be center court, although I probably want to be there. But this is the dream.
I just want to say first and foremost, on behalf of the listeners, everyone here at the station who have been waiting for 2.5 hours for this announcement.
Did I let you down?
That we're thrilled that this is the announcement, Carm. And we are 100% behind you. I genuinely think that you can do it because you have like a good.
I really want this
because you know the tennis, you know the tennis atmosphere, you know the game. You could like. Your general instincts around tennis are going to be good compared to someone who's just like, oh, I'm going to try out for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I believe in you, Carm. We should
thank
do...
you. Thank
okay,
you.
This is
thank
a whole
you.
Thing, of course, because we're going to follow up with this,
really,
Carm.
Really, Carm, I waited around for the radio for this stupid announcement from the 219. Sorry to disappoint.
219, I'm with you, man. I've been doing the show with him for 2.5 hours. That's all he's been talking about.
231, woohoo, you go, Carm, and live the dream. Thank you, 231, 219. Is it the same 2-1? It's the same 219. That's the same 219. I see you.
773, valid point. Hey, Kevin, how about Maria Sharapova's sweat?
Right.
Valid point. I would take her towel.
There is nothing I want more in my life right now than to be a U.S. Open. You get the sweet polo shirt,
probably
right?
Get some awesome swag. If you get it, can you get me some swag?
That's all I really care about.
You walked in with that Northwestern shirt earlier. I'm like, I need more Northwestern swag.
You work me on the throw. We get the throw down. I'll get you.
We're looking at a strong four-seamer. No two. It's got to be straight.
These guys whip it. I mean, it is a bullet across the court.
There's got to be a different.
I'm okay with a nice lob.
I'm guessing there's got to be a different sort of technique to throwing a tennis ball than a baseball. You know what I mean? Because you can't just... I feel like your accuracy is not going to be there. It's probably more of a wrist action.
312-981-7200. Love a call on the essence, the process of how do you properly throw a tennis ball versus a baseball. And I mean, to me, Kevin, this is the nuts and bolts. You got to get on the tennis court. You got to practice it.
I wonder if we can get Kerry Wood on or Demp.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good look.
They would step out of their weekly...
I don't know if they know. Like, I feel like we got to get McEnroe on.
They can
here.
Throw anything.
Yeah,
but you've talked
can.
To all the tennis greats, haven't you?
I've had an Agassi. I've had a McEnroe.
Okay, Carm, we're turning this into a video series. I've already got this whole thing planned. When are the tryouts?
Tryouts. Well, this year was June 23rd. So, I mean,
I thought it would be like a 6 month in advance type thing. Well, they probably want to make sure you're still healthy for the event.
I mean, that's 2 months in advance.
Okay, so we've
10
got
months
about
away.
A year. We're doing a video series for WGNRadio.com. Yeah. We're going to document this. We're going to get a sponsor for it. Also, yeah, if anybody wants to sponsor Carm's journey to the U.S. Open for next year, 312-981-7200, we'll direct you to the sales crew.
773, don't get me wrong, Carm, I always love your enthusiasm and work ethic, but don't they have age requirements to the ball people? They do on the young side. 14 to 17-year-olds have to have a parent signature. But for a 43-year-old, I'm good. And the other part of it, there are people out there that are around my age. Like, I saw one dude who was... call it 30 pounds heavier than me. He had a sleeve on his calf. He could barely move, but he's out there.
But you, how old are you?
God, this is exactly the call that I wanted.
Wait, how old are you, though, real quick?
I'm 43.
Okay, you're 43. You look like you're probably, you could even pull off don't take this the wrong way, Carm. Maybe a little Just for Men to young it up a little bit before you go. Cover up the gray whiskers.
You're right. Fully dyeing the hair.
Don't take
that
offensively. Just throwing it out there. Maybe look fresh.
But I can give you some diversity there, right?
That's true. Let this old guy out there. They just want quality tennis person play. That's all they're really looking for. Ball boy play.
Hey, real quick, Carrie was a ball girl in high school. This is what I need. Carrie, what do you got, Carrie? How do we get this done?
Okay, well, I did it back in the day when it was the Virginia Slims. I had a tryout at Ace and Yale, because I played high school or tennis and almost played in college. So I was in high school, and they had tryouts, and you had to throw the length of the, you know, the tennis court. You had to know the rules. You had to know everything. And I actually got to do it, like, for Renee Richards' first match. I was the ball girl at, you know, but she went from being a man to a woman. I did her. I was a ball girl at her thing.
Wow.
When was the other girl who played up in Lincolnshire? She turned pro at 14. It was a big thing.
Capriati?
And I, no. She's from Lincolnshire. She's not Tracy Austin, but everybody thought I looked like Tracy Austin, so they thought I was there when I was standing in the stands. She was the first one to turn pro at 14. But it's a very cool experience. You get to be behind the scenes and do all sorts of stuff. And that was back in the day.
Do you get free stuff, Carrie?
Yeah, I did. I still have it. It was like Avon Tennis Championship. But that was a long time ago, but it was cool then. You got to go to a lot of the things. And I know kids who have done it, you know, when they have pro-ams. I ran a pro-am and had a whole bunch of kids do it.
Carrie, Carrie, I love you. I need brass tacks here. How do I get there? Tell me what to do. Guide this along.
I don't know. I played softball at that point, so I could throw the ball really far. And you had to be agile and probably know the rules. Back then, you had to know the rules, too.
See, that's what you have on your side, Carm.
You're a tennis player, so then you're probably really going to be able to do that then.
Okay.
So
I know the rules. I'm anxiety's just flowing in right now. I'm already thinking about it. Can you imagine?
It is anxiety because, like, when the ball bounces back in the halfway in the court, and you're looking at the other kids, do I get it? Do you get it?
Right.
And the pros aren't happy. They want you to go and get back.
Right.
And so it's Andrea Yeager was
Andrea playing. Yeager.
Yeager.
You just got
there
the text
we go.
In
I
as
did
well.
Her first pro match. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah. There's.
So you get now. You can do it anywhere and all that. I mean, you could probably try it out around here because they do have some things. I don't know if they do, you know, some little pro am things that you could probably do. You know, in the big like old McEnroe town.
Awesome,
maybe they would let you do that. You could try it out.
Okay. All right. Fail to prepare is preparing to fail. I got you, Carrie. I smell what you're cooking.
All right. Good luck with that. I'll be looking for you next year.
Thank you, Carrie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gary. Carm, you asked me to be honest on this. Can I be honest about I think you hit all sorts of the points here on what it takes to be a ball boy at the U.S. Open. My biggest concern?
Yeah.
The arm.
Yeah, no, it's what I got
to
work on.
So we're going to go to the court. We're going to throw some balls around.
Okay. All right. Quick timeout. I'm leaving. I kind of want
to. We should get Bill Love's perspective on this.
Maybe. Okay, we can dial up Left. 720 WGN. Cubs went down today. They lost to the Giants 3-2. Now only 87 and 48, 39 games over 500. You're wondering about Jake Arrieta now, 16-6, took the loss, 6 innings, 4 hits, three runs, 2 earned, walked 2, struck out 7, 103 pitches, ERA rising slightly to 2.84. Madison Bumgarner, 6 innings for the Giants, the same, 103 pitches, gets the win, struck out 10. So I think they're still okay, Kev. I think it'll be all right.
It'll be all right, Carm.
Cubs discussion right now is really around who's going to start game one of the playoffs. John Lester making the strong bid yesterday with a complete game.
And then do you have Kyle Hendricks go two?
I have. What about Kyle Hendricks? I'm sorry?
Do you have him pitch game two?
Oh, right. And that's the other question. Who's pitching game two? I'm not pitching. That's hard.
If Hendricks is pitching the way he's pitching right now, for the rest of the month, in my mind, there's no question you put him out there.
See, I think I go Arrieta. What happens if they have to pitch again?
Who's pitching better? It's as simple as that.
I'd still rather have Arrieta out there. As great as Hendricks has been,
Why would you rather have Arrieta? Why would you rather have Arrieta if Hendricks is pitching better than Arrieta by in 3-4 weeks from now?
Okay, here. Well, let's play it out. Let's say it's a 5-game series with the Dodgers, all right? It's a very good chance that that's going to be the case. You've got Lester going game one because he's a lefty and the Dodgers are predominantly left-handed. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, Arrieta go, okay, let me rewrite. John Lackey's shoulder, do you trust it?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with his shoulder.
Okay.
It was overworked. He did 2 bullpen sessions in between starts when the Cubs were going deepening. It was just a sore shoulder, I'm convinced.
Okay.
I'm wrong, but that's my observation.
Yeah. I mean, I got to see that he's actually healthy, and I believe he's going to be starting tomorrow. But
yeah, he's expected to, yes.
Right. So if you're pitching Lackey and you're pitching Hendricks and you're pitching Arrieta and you're pitching Lester, then that would set up Lester for only one guy going twice in the series, pitching game one and game five if necessary, and that's fine. But if you're going to try to squeeze two out, if you're only going to go with three, I would rather have Lester and Arrieta going twice, if you can. Lester, Arrieta, Hendricks, Lester, Arrieta.
Why would it be different if it was Lester, Hendricks, Lester? Say that again. What do you want the
If there's a game five, whoever pitches game two could be in line to pitch game five. And I'm just not – I would not – I'd rather have Arrieta out there.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I'd rather have Arrieta out there in a game five than Kyle Hendricks for the second time in the series. You're asking an awful lot. The guy didn't start – I mean, he's going to get a start.
If you don't – you going to go postseason experience here on me?
Yeah. I think it matters, man. You know, it's
– I don't know how much it does just because there's – I mean, I'm sure it absolutely plays a role into it. But anybody that's – if you ever look at some of the numbers and its stuff, nothing ever really correlates to how many games you've played in the postseason. Amount of games played in the postseason does not translate to better numbers in next said postseason.
Well, like one of the reasons why you're comfortable with John Lackey is because he's been there, right?
Yeah, but I would rather have Hendricks and absolute. I would rather have Hendricks than Lackey. Absolutely.
Their numbers, there's too big of a difference. So you're obviously going to pitch Kyle Hendricks over John Lackey. But Arrieta's in the Cy Young discussion. He's not going to win it. Lester is too. And Hendricks is in there as well with the lowest ERA in the NL. 312-981-7200. You want to talk Cubs? We're doing a little Cub baseball right now.
That's valid. But, I think Lester goes game one.
By the way, our baseball talk sponsored by Vienna Beef. Lester, so you want Hendricks in two. Arrieta 3, Lackey 4, Lester 5. It's not going to be an easy series with the Dodgers, man.
Kershaw threw a side session this weekend, right, too, by the way. Threw best a single pitcher in baseball. It's not even close.
I mean,
here's the thing with Arrieta. As I said, Arrieta has by far the best stuff on the pitching staff and the starting five. It's not even close. When Arrieta is on, he's the best pitcher on the team. Problem is, if he doesn't really start to turn this corner, and it's been going on for a while, it's the command issue, Carm. Is what's going on with Arrieta. You see his pitch count up 5th, 6th inning. I think he's pitched the most innings out of all the starters because they got to leave him out there to get some use out of him. You know what I mean? By the 4th, 5th inning, his pitch count's up. When Arrieta is on and his stuff is working, he's getting it over the plate, and if he gets ahead and counts, it's over. I mean, you're good. Arrieta's going to cruise to a win if he's doing that. But when Arrieta's, you know, today, I mean, this is how good Jake Arrieta is. I mean, he hasn't been sharp really for what, Carm? The past 2-3 months?
He really hasn't. He had a phenomenal start against the Padres 2 starts ago, 1 innings, give it two hits, no runs. But outside of that, 6 innings today, 6 1/3 versus the Pirates, 5 hits, 6 runs.
And he still only gave up two earned runs there.
Right, and that was a game against Pittsburgh. The Cubs came back and won, but he left when they were trailing. He went 5 2/3 against the Brewers, only 3 hits, gave up 5. He went 5 2/3 against the Cardinals in a blowout, so that was a decent outing, but it wasn't very deep because he threw a ton of pitches in that one. 5 2/3 threw 105. He had an 8-inning outing before that against the A's. Listen, the guy's great. We're not trying to beat up Arrieta, and I like what Joe Maddon's doing with his pitch count. 88 on July 8th, and then he was off to the 19th. 85, 101, 100, 108, 105, 103, 99, 91, 103. I mean, making sure as best as he can that Arrieta is going to be fresh for the playoffs. Because last year when Arrieta finally got on fumes against the Mets, it was over. And he actually showed signs of it. if you recall, in the Pirates game when Pittsburgh was threatening and two balls got absolutely lasered to Addison Russell. He missed the first one, made the play on the second. But he was tiring then. And then when we got in the Cardinals series, he wasn't quite as sharp, but he was still fine. And then it just, against the Mets, it was over.
Yeah, and he admitted to it.
Right, and he threw 90 innings more.
And we talked to Arrieta and Madden in, all the way back in spring training. That was one of the first things they're asked. Okay, how are you going to approach this season? Because this is a season that is clearly, you have high hopes. Your goal is obviously a ring here.
I mean, what do you do for the month right now? We got a whole month of games just to wait until the playoffs. Like, this is
You absolutely should go to the six-man rotation, which they have. Montgomery's got a couple starts. Maybe Cahill will get a start. But this is what the last month for. And Joe Maddon's going to find sort of that even middle ground of sort of giving guys rest but making sure they stay sharp and mixing them in and out. I mean, you saw Tommy La Stella back up. He was starting at third today.
That's an interesting one. Welcome back, Tommy La Stella.
Did you read my take on La Stella? I posted a blog, Carm, WGNradio.com.
Powell at the Park?
Powell at the Park.
This was one Powell at the Park that I missed. Please recap. I apologize. Did you write it while I was on vacation?
I did, actually. I posted it this week because La Stella returned this week. My point is this is, I didn't think we talked about this before, Carm, when this was going on. Was he wrong to go home and not follow his boss's orders and just report to AAA?
Yes.
Yes. But the larger conversation I was sort of pointing at was professional sports teams can continue to talk about character and high morale and things like that, and chemistry. The bottom line is,
can you help us win?
Can you help us win?
Well, of course.
And La Stella can win. And if La Stella was batting .295 when they demoted him and he protested the demotion and went home, if he was batting .205, you think the Cubs would still have him? Theo Epstein said his knee-jerk reaction was to suspend or fine him. If Tommy La Stella is batting .205, well, first of all, he's probably not in the majors at that point anyways, but if he's batting .205 and he's not a really good hitter like La Stella is, he's not a guy that's a perfect kind of player you need for this final month here who can play a lot of positions and give your starters rest, Tommy La Stella is not with the Cubs right now.
There's no question.
Saw it earlier in the season when the Cubs brought in Chapman.
It goes on, right. It goes on everywhere. Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, I'm not knocking. I mean, it's not a knock. This is professional sports atmosphere.
I wouldn't have that guy on my team. Really? He throws 105. You're trying to win the World Series. Oh, yeah,
I'll take him.
Dennis Rodman threw Scottie Pippen into the basket support and was a complete dirtball of a player when he was competing against the Bulls. Oh, we blew it with Horace Grant. Handshake deal that went awry. Well, okay, we'll take him and we'll win three titles. It's of course, it's about the W at the end of the day. Tommy La Stella, remember, he started the wild card game last year, and he's a left-handed bat, and the Cubs don't have a lot of those off the bench, so they made accommodations for him. I was kind of, the fact that he was like, look, man, I'm not going to go to the minors. It just doesn't work for me.
You were fine with that?
Well, part of me, as far as just, like the rebel in me is telling your employer, no, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, my God.
I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to live. I'm going to make other choices for my life.
You're in leagues.
Well, but okay. A lot of people though are in a lot of great places, and they're not happy for whatever reason. Really?
Don't play.
Well, that's basically what he did. I mean,
he came back when he got a chance to come to the majors.
Well, he got his.
It rubbed me the wrong way. Came off as a pouty.
What rubbed
Howdy
you?
Child
what rubbed you the wrong?
Who was complaining and wanted ice cream from mommy and daddy, and they said no and no and no, and then they finally gave in, and then he came.
What bothered
and then
you?
Then he came out of his room and went and got the ice cream.
What bothered you more, La Stella or Kaepernick?
Oh, Kaepernick.
I understand.
No question.
Tommy realized, which we all, I think, believed that he would. My life is better playing baseball than not playing baseball, so yes, I will eventually report to AAA.
But he says he does have a lack of passion for the game. He said he's doing this for the team
right now.
Yeah,
it's so weird, too. Like, it's about the team and not about the numbers.
You know what he needs, Carm? A life coach.
He needs something. Tommy was telling. I think he's.
Carm and I were discussing life coaches earlier in the show.
Right, Kevin is anti getting help, and I'm pro.
Personally, I'm against. Like, I would never get a life coach.
Yeah,
but I'm not against it if it helps you, you know, move on and do your thing. And I'll get a life coach. Yeah. I just would never get one.
I want seven of them, but I can't afford them all. So I
how much do life coaches? What's the going rate for a life coach these days?
Life coach is probably on the low end, 50, high end. Who knows? 400, 500
per hour? What are you talking?
That's
here?
An hour, Bo.
So life coaches, like, are these therapy sessions, or are they with you at all times? Like, how does it work?
Therapy has a negative connotation. Coaching is just trying to make you better. They're looking at your gaps.
Therapy has a negative connotation?
I think it does to some,
yes. I would rather tell someone that I have a therapist than a life coach.
Well, therapist is like trying to, the way I see it, just trying to fix something. Life coach is not trying to fix anything. They're just trying to coach you to be better. They're seeing your gaps. They're seeing vision that you don't have for how you can grow your career, your relationships, etc.
Do life coaches have life coaches?
Yes, they do.
Really?
Absolutely.
It's a full circle.
You got to have support in life, man. I'm pro support. 11 years ago, I bet you Mike Lindell also got some support at some point in his life. Maybe he didn't need it. I don't know.
With a MyPillow.
Either he's got support of the head, that's for sure. Yes. He's the inventor of MyPillow, and he was adamant about creating the world's healthiest, most comfortable, most durable pillow ever. He was also adamant about manufacturing this pillow right here in the USA. People said he was crazy to think he could build a successful company while manufacturing here in the United States. And today, MyPillow has over 1,100 employees and has helped over 25 million people get the best sleep of their lives. And it's still proudly made in the USA. Happy Labor Day weekend. To celebrate, MyPillow is extending their best offer ever. Right now, get 4 MyPillows for the price of 1. You buy 1 premium MyPillow, you'll get 1 free, plus 2 go-anywhere pillows absolutely free. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WGN, and they have a 60-night money-back guarantee. No risk in trying. You can sleep on it. If you don't love it, return it. Get your money back. You're not going to do that, but it is an option. 800-299-9579 or go to MyPillow.com. One more time, that phone number, 800-299-9579. Use that promo code WGN. WGN, this is The Beat. Matt Verderam, fan-sided, will be in studio with us at 6:10 talking all things NFL. Nobody knows the NFL better than Matt Verderam.
And we're just minutes away, Carm.
From?
What do you mean from?
Oh, from that?
No, from Illinois State against Valpo. The Redbirds open up their season. Fear the bird.
Fear the bird. My bad.
We're 6 minutes and 40 seconds away.
Where's that kickoff? Is that a Valpo or is that a homer?
That's good. Good old Bloomington Normal, Illinois.
When's the last time you were back to a Bloomington?
Last year.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good dedication.
Fear the bird. It's a 2-hour drive. It's easy peasy. Once you get past Joliet, it's nothing but farm and you cruise.
Why did you go there? What was the rationale at the time? Did you want to fear the bird?
I mean, I was going to make up a good lie.
No, just
like I always dreamed of being a Redbird. I don't know. I waited till like the last week to send my stuff in to colleges, and I sent them to like 2, and I'm like, oh, I ISU. I'm serious. Mom was like, you know, have you sent? I'm like, no, I haven't sent any applications.
What was your high school GPA? No, don't feel bad. Mine was very low.
I think it was in the 3s, but we had a weird GPA like 5 scale. Like we were on a...
So you were in the 2s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I was a horrible student till the day I graduated college. I was never a good student, but I transferred into the radio department, the radio my last few years of college, and then, yeah, you know, everything worked out just fine.
You're doing okay for yourself. Yeah.
Fear the bird, though.
Fear the bird. I mean, I wasn't a great student either. Do you have regrets about it? I have regrets. I wish I would have had a different focus at a younger age.
No, I have no regrets.
Really?
Yeah. What do you mean? You wish you'd... Yeah, all you're like, I, you, well, you're kind of like... Are you like bitter about being... You never seem like super.
Go ahead.
Like you seem a little down that you're like, oh, I'm just Carm. I'm doing a radio show. I mean, it's only WGN, dude. It's awesome.
Hold on a second. How many Snapchats do we take today of me jumping up and down with just youthful enthusiasm?
But like you just said, you wish you had a different career path.
Well, no. I didn't say career path.
Oh,
I just and sure. I listen. I mean. I'd like to be the voice of the Cubs, baby. Like, I mean, come on. Maybe you can, I'll live through you, Kev. as I'm trying. Listen, we're all trying to move it forward, baby. You never know. You never know what can happen. If this is the
like this is a larger conversation. Yeah, I just opened up a can.
You did.
I apologize,
you did.
Carm.
You did. Now, but that's okay. I like. Hey, listen, we can talk.
Do we
it
need
out.
To get your life coach on the line to talk us?
I don't have one dedicated to me, but I, you know, the future is it's always that possibility. I wanted to
wait. One more question about life coaches.
Sure.
Can you
sure
be a life coach for multiple people, or are you tied to one person?
No, you can a life coach. That's their gig. They handle multiple people, of course. Okay. I would think.
You ever think they mix it up and they're like,
well, everybody's got different issues, man.
You know, like they're mixing up, like someone's in an affair with somebody or like something else
right.
is going on. And they're like,
right.
They call them up and they start talking. And they're like, nah, it's not me.
There's not one playbook, but there's an underlying theme, I'm sure, that most life coaches touch on.
If anybody's a life coach out there, I
want to talk
to
a life coach.
Yeah.
All right,
312-981-7200.
There you go. So the Cubs lost 3-2. It was an ugly ending as they had some base running errors in the ninth.
And football news: Kyle Long reportedly agreed to a 4-year, $40 million extension.
And one thing I failed to mention about the U.S. Open this year is that I forget which player, but they were very upset. Hit the ball into the crowd. Not too deep in the crowd. It was a side court, so there was maybe 3 rows on the side and like 10 behind. Okay. I was on the side. Ball was coming right at me. Got out of the seat. Leaped into the air. Left hand extended. Buckets. Right. Just all day. Right in.
You caught it?
Caught it. I'll send
so
it.
When you put your resume in for ball boy, are you going to be... Are you going to put that in there? Like, big deal, but I caught a tennis ball in the stands.
Right, left-handed.
Left-handed, and I'm righty.
Right. It was over my left shoulder, had to go up with the left.
That'll put you, know, like when they're sorting through all these entries here, Carm, and you tell them about that, I think that could put you over the top.
All right, I'm going to tweet that out at the Carm right now. Please follow me. It makes me feel good about everything. All right, quick timeout. Matt Verderam, we'll talk some NFL football right after the 6 o'clock news. How will the Bears stack up in the division? The Minnesota Vikings made a huge trade today as well. They've got a new quarterback. Touch on it all right after the 6 o'clock news on 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
We have covered a lot on the show today. Life coaches, Colin Kaepernick. The big announcement, I'm trying out to be a U.S. Open ball boy in 2017.
That's, I think,
I'm so excited.
Most exciting part of the show today.
This is the dream for me. It's going to be hard. I realize I got a long road in front of me, but I feel like I'm up for the challenge. Let's bring in our guy, Matt Verderam. He's the NFL director for Fansided.com. He's in our studio right now. Nobody knows more about football than Matt Verderam, with maybe, I got to throw Adam Hogan there because I think he'll hit me in the face. Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, Glenn Kozlowski, Doug Plank, other football people on the station.
Yes.
Right there too. But so huge trade today. The Minnesota Vikings with a traumatic week with Teddy Bridgewater blowing out his knee, might not even be ready for next season. And the Vikings being very proactive today, making a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles for Sam Bradford, who's bounced around the NFL now. And the Vikings gave up a lot. First-round pick next year, conditional fourth-rounder in 2018. Matt, welcome to WGN. First off, your thoughts on what the Vikings did today?
I think it was a travesty for Minnesota. If for no other reason, because Sam Bradford is barely better than Sean Hill, who was your backup. And yeah, Bradford's 28, Hill's 36 years old, but the reality of it is you gave up a first-round pick who could be a 10-year starter for what? For Sam Bradford, who's completed 60% of his passes and has 2 torn ACLs and no playoff appearances? Congratulations.
So what's your forecast for the Vikings now without Bridgewater?
I think they're probably about an 8-8 team, and I think if they had Sean Hill, they were about an 8-8 team. So I don't think, maybe best-case scenario, they're a wild-card team and they get bounced by Carolina or Arizona in the first round. I think the Vikings are a good team. They're not a great team, even with Bridgewater. Without him, it's going to be a struggle. Teams are just going to stack the box on Peterson.
So, I mean, this is interesting from a Philadelphia standpoint, too. I mean, Bradford was expected to be their starter. Now they're going to start a rookie, if he's healthy. He's had a ribcage injury in the preseason, named Carson Wentz, who they traded up to get.
Who is their week one starter? Because wasn't Wentz, he was
I mean, you're talking about fantasy people. Pay attention right now. You might want to be jumping out of Carson Wentz if you're struggling for a quarterback. No, I don't think
you want to do that. Look, you know, when the trade went down, the original thought was, okay, Chase Daniel's going to come in. He's going to start.
Right.
And then Carson Wentz is going to get his feet under him, so on and so forth. And now that's not going to be the case. All reports are Wentz is going to actually start.
And
as
Daniel's
soon as he's
not happy, correct?
Yeah.
Apparently upset about when he was told that when Wentz is ready to go, we're throwing him in there.
Yeah, and you know Daniel should be ticked off. He's got every right to be. He's on a 3-year deal. He should start right now for Philadelphia, which is a team that, let's face it, they're playing for the future right now. And you know with Wentz, he was considered a project, even though he's a number 2 overall pick. So to put him in Philly, where they would boo their grandmother, right. It's a dangerous player.
I mean, they booed Santa Claus, so.
They threw snowballs at him. They maybe tried to kill him.
Okay.
Matt, by the way, you might detect he's got the you're a New York guy. You got an East Coast flavor. You've come to Chicago for work, so you're like you're getting indoctrinated into the Midwest form of football. You just took in your first Bears game because you're a big Kansas City Chiefs guy. So your impressions of the beloved, the Chicago Bear, I doubt it's very favorable after the third preseason game.
You know what? Everybody freaks out after preseason, right? They watch 3 games or 4 games that mean nothing, and then they draw every conclusion in the world, and that's the end of it. But look, the reality of it is John Fox is a very good coach. Took Jake Delhomme to a Super Bowl. That can't be underrated. So I think the Bears, do I think they're a playoff team? No. But I think the Bears can win 7 games, maybe 8 if things break right. I think that team is better than it looked in the preseason. You know, Jay Cutler's not a Super Bowl quarterback, but he's a decent quarterback. And they've got some pieces around them offensively. If that defense could do anything, the Bears could fight for a second spot in that division.
I want to get your thoughts on Jay Cutler because, as Carm just mentioned, you're an East Coast guy, a little bit of an outsider, but the people here, it's pretty much down the middle. People hate him. You know what? I shouldn't even say that because it's not a lot of whole people love him. But more people hate Jay Cutler than not. I'm not that far on the spectrum in terms of
you
hating
like him.
Jay Cutler. I'm fine with him. And I do think a team could win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler.
Wait, don't you have a 6th jersey?
I do not have a 6th jersey.
You don't?
I'm not a jersey guy.
Okay. 99, Dan Hampton's a Cutler guy.
I would wear a Hampton jersey.
If you want to look at the history of it, you know, Cutler went to the NFC title game in this town in 2010. And
what
that
a hell
team,
of a defense.
That right, but he's the kind of guy, look, if you're depending on him to carry your team to a Super Bowl,
right.
Not going to happen.
But you could win
right.
with a Jay Cutler but, with the right team around.
Sure. Yeah. You got a good defense, you can run the ball. One thing to be fair to Jay Cutler, has he ever had an offensive line in Chicago?
No.
I mean, they can't block at all. He's been on his back all the time.
Yeah, so anybody that wants to criticize Jay Cutler's toughness because of the NFC North game that you had talked about, get rid of that stigma. Get rid of that out of your head. Jay Cutler's one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league.
Well, okay, but how much of an offensive line has Aaron Rodgers been dealing with? That dude's been running for his life, too, and he makes it work.
But what is...
I'm
talking about the greatest quarterback you can make of all time. You can even make that argument a little bit bold, but his numbers are absurd.
Well, his numbers
Hall
are absurd.
Quarterback.
But they also, I mean, their offensive line has been so good recently. They just cut Josh Sitton, who's a 3-time All-Pro, and they cut him. Who, by the way, the Bears, maybe call him up, see what's going on. 30 years old.
That wouldn't be a bad idea right there. I like that play. Paging Ryan Pace.
Yeah, well, your thoughts on Ryan Pace? Just a couple of years so far, it's hard to judge it. Obviously, we're going to see how draft picks work out in a few seasons. Leonard Floyd, were you a fan of that? What have you seen from Pace over the past couple of years that may give Bears fans hope?
I think Pace has done a decent job. I like Trevathan coming in free agency. I like Freeman. The Bears have not been able to stop the run in years. Those are two guys who are downhill thumpers. They should be able to help in that regard. I think the pick of Floyd was a little bit of a reach, but I think he's a guy who's going to be able to get some pass rush. That's something the Bears have needed. And then I think, you know, I like to pick a Cody Whitehair later in the draft. Yeah. He's a good guard. I think he's somebody who could help that offensive line we were just talking about.
Look good in the preseason.
So, yeah, I think Pace has done a fair job considering, you know, what he's had to work with. That being said, as you pointed out, we've got to see what these draft picks do because,
right.
you know, let's face it, if Kevin White goes out and he's a total bust, that's a problem. That's a big black mark.
312-981-7200. You can ask your NFL questions to Matt Verderam, and he will answer. We'd allow like one fantasy question, which, Verderam, do you hate fantasy?
You know what? I am indifferent, but I am here. I will answer any fantasy question you have.
Do you have a team?
I do have a team, yeah.
Starting quarterback?
Carson
I'm
Palmer.
Already bored.
I was going to say, and frankly, even I don't care.
Right.
This is my fantasy starting.
No, that's the thing about fantasy football, right? It's like I'm going to have a team this year. I think our draft's next week. But is there anything worse than getting cornered by somebody and they go on and on about their fantasy football team? Like, there is nothing worse. There's nothing worse than it.
It is probably the worst experience you can have as a sports fan. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in Denver, because it's interesting. Northwestern lost a football game today to Western Michigan, which was hugely disappointing. But former Wildcat Trevor Siemian, who diehard Wildcat fans would have been impressed if he had ever gotten a look as a backup, is now the Denver Broncos starter. Mark Sanchez cut. Looks like he's going to end up with the Cowboys. Trevor Siemian, Matt Verderam. I mean, that's a. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't have a good year last year, but name wise, that's about as big a gap you could ever have.
Yeah. You know, and the interesting thing is, you go to the preseason and everybody's, well, Sanchez is going to be the starter, and then Lynch is eventually going to take over. Well, Trevor Siemian somehow working his way into the conversation, and now as the week one starter for the defending world champions. Look, he's a guy, not a big arm, not that mobile. He's accurate. You know, he's a pretty smart guy. The problem with that is going to be their offensive line's not good. They're going to have to run the ball consistently. But you know what? For Siemian, didn't have a great career at Northwestern, and now has found himself as a starting quarterback in the NFL. So he's got an opportunity to make some money here in the next few weeks.
We're not going to drag you entirely into the Colin Kaepernick conversation, but we do want to at least get the football side of things. Is he even good anymore? What do you see from his play? And if the 49ers were to try to move him, could they even get an offer for Kaepernick?
Right. What do you think Kaepernick would be worth? Like the Vikings trade for Bradford, you have a first and a conditional fourth. I mean, what are you getting Kaepernick for, and who would you rather have, Kaepernick or Sam Bradford?
I'd rather have Kaepernick, because at least he's got a cannon for an arm, and he's really mobile, and he's gonna make plays with his legs. If nothing else, Bradford is not going to do that. I think Kaepernick, maybe a mid round pick, fourth round pick,
market value as well. You know, I mean, obviously the Vikings desperate.
You know, the Broncos earlier in the year were offering to give up a two. You know, but they couldn't agree on other things with the contract. But you know, Kaepernick is basically on a series of one-year deals. And as far as can he play anymore, well, he's sitting behind Blaine Gabbert, and Blaine Gabbert could never play. So that hurts.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's a gots-to-go situation for Cap. I just think it's a bad situation in San Francisco, and he's got to find his way out of there and then maybe see if he could jumpstart his career a la Robert Griffin.
So you think that – I mean, the cuts came out today. He made the team.
Yep.
So you think they keep him, trade him? What's your prediction?
I think they're going to keep him now. A couple weeks into the year, if somebody gets hurt, then maybe they trade him. They get a little bit of value for him. Maybe some team's willing to give up a two. They get desperate. If Sam Bradford gets hurt, the Vikings might give up three ones for him. So, you know, I think Kaepernick right now is on the team. And I think eventually if he stays on the 49ers, he's going to start, because Gabbert, there's no reason to think he's holding down a job for 16 games.
We'll take a quick timeout. Matt Verderam, thank you, NFL Director, FanSided, with us for one more segment here. And there's actually a great tie-in with Kevin and Matt that I'm going to bring all together here. Coming back here, baseball season is in full swing, and the Chicago Tribune has put together the ultimate crosstown showdown. Head to chicagotribune.com/greatest and vote for Chicago's greatest baseball players of all time. That's presented by Wintrust. Talking a little NFL football, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. 6:22 with you till 7. And then it is Amy Guth, the Saturday Night Special. We'll talk to Amy about 6:50. Got one more segment with our NFL director over at fansided.com, where I spend some time as well during the week. Actually, I spend my week at FanSided with you, Matt. Kevin, he gets to be with me every single day.
And I still haven't gotten a raise for it.
I mean, it is.
I could only imagine.
I mean, when I walk in the morning, what's your first thought?
I just want to sit down without being bothered. I mean, you are ready to go.
I host with Carm maybe once every few weeks or so, and I feel like I get a lot just from those 4 hours together, Carm.
Oh, thanks, Kev.
I mean, are you pulling a full 8-hour shift at FanSided? What's your schedule?
It's an 8-hour.
I never know what you're doing, where you are. You're always like playing tennis or.
I'm actually a 9-hour. It's a 9-hour for me. I do an eight to five or 4 day a week, wow. And then I do a little weekend action.
Yeah. And come NFL Sundays, you're going to be doing like a split duty, aren't you? Like coming in the morning, coming in at night. It's just too much Carm to handle.
A lot of pull on a Sunday this year. But that's okay. That's how we like it. So, all right. I Powell, Kevin, you love food more than anything, right? Or you always
just about, yeah.
I mean, last time we did a show together, we broke down my birthday dinner menu.
Yes, Carm was going out to a steak dinner, and I pulled up the PDF, the menu from the restaurant's website, and I broke it down, gave him the proper order on what he should be getting, and you did. You followed through. You sent me photos. You got the shrimp. You got the steak. Chicago cut.
I did. I followed your lead, and now you've got the reigning NFL MVP. Cam Newton of your Carolina Panthers. He's got his own food truck.
Okay.
He revealed this, a little interview. It's the truck, which contains an image of him doing his iconic Superman pose on the side.
No dab?
No. It's just he's just going Superman.
All right.
It's called the Smokin' Aces, which is a play on Newton's nickname Ace Boogie. And then the menu's got includes some fish. Since Newton is a pescatarian, also is going to have some chicken. Do you think this helps Carolina win more games? Matt, let's take the football side of it.
I do not think it matters. But that being said, I'm sure if they start out 1-2 this year, somebody's going to write a column that the food trucks are the reason that the Panthers aren't going anywhere. I always enjoy those crazy, ridiculous columns that you get when some team gets off to a bad start or a player gets off to a bad start. And the food truck might have food truck gate by about week three.
I mean, it's going to be available for the September 18th opener against Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers, Paul.
Is there a menu for this yet?
I don't.
What kind of food are we looking at here?
I mean, we got fish and chicken.
Just fish, like fried fish and chicken?
That is going to be a failed business venture. That's all we got.
maybe they got a lobster roll for it.
Bring some creativity, Cam Newton.
I like branch out, Cam Newton. Hey, let's get Paul in here. 312-981-7200 taking your football questions. Paul, you want to talk about the Bears secondary? Go ahead.
Hey, Matt, this is Paul from Rockford. Just a quick question. Do you think the Bears drafted anybody this year that can help in the secondary? I know they, I think, picked up three guys, if I'm not mistaken. Just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, Paul.
I think the biggest thing for the Bears secondary is Kyle Fuller's got to play like a first-round pick. He's been inconsistent the last couple of years. He shows flashes. I think he's a guy that if he can step up and really take that number one role, it'll be a big help. And then you look at a guy like DeAndre Hall, who they drafted this year, mid-round pick. Hall's a guy who a lot of people thought might even go late second round, early third. He's somebody who the Bears are going to rely on. You know, he's got to be able to play a little man coverage, play some zone, mix it up. And you know, Vic Fangio's defense, there's a lot of moving parts. But if Hall can do the job and Fuller steps up as a number one, I think the Bears secondary could at least be middle of the pack as his safeties try to assimilate themselves and catch up a little bit maybe to the corners.
Biggest concern for the Bears this year?
I think the biggest concern is that offensive line. Kyle Long, who got a four-year extension today, $30 million guaranteed, I think he is a very good player. I think everybody else in that line is questionable. And I think if the offensive line's not good, you can have great pieces around that. It doesn't really matter. And so I think that offensive line has really got to step up and give Jay Cutler a chance to find some of these receivers down the field.
Yeah, and man, those receivers. Kevin White, you going to be anything? We'll see.
He's got to be.
Alshon, right, he does.
Has to be.
Alshon, you going to be healthy?
You have no tight end play for the most part.
I mean,
Zach Miller, is he a guy that you really think you can rely on?
They traded Martellus Bennett. They're thinking that Miller could be a number one guy. He hasn't proven that in his career, but maybe he gets the role. He steps up. He played nicely the second half of last season. But I think it's all about Jeffrey. It's about White. And then, hey, let's be honest. You know, Jeremy Langford's going to have a good season. He's got to rush for 1,000 yards.
Your thoughts on the stock of running backs and running back by committee for the Bears?
I like Langford a lot. I'm not too sold on the rest of it. I think Langford's a guy who last year, when he got his carries, he looked good. I think they moved on from Matt Forte thinking that Jeremy Langford could shoulder the load. And I think he can, again, if the offensive line can open some holes for the guy. He's shown some burst. You know, he's not a small guy. He's got some wiggle to him. So I think Langford could give him something if they can create a little bit of space.
Big college football game tonight on your way out here. USC Bama, Jerry's World, kicks off in about 33 minutes. And we had a big Wisconsin, congratulations, beating LSU today at Lambeau Field. That's a huge win for the Badgers. Northwestern lost to Western Michigan. Your early season college football thoughts, how do you see tonight's game?
I think Alabama's the better team. You know, listen, number one ranking. They have a new quarterback. USC, though, also with a new quarterback. Cody Kessler got drafted by the Browns. RIP Cody Kessler. Listen, the Tide, always a safe bet to at least be in the conversation for the college football playoff. And you know, people are talking about Alabama like they're going to have a down season. They're the number one team in the country. Right. So I think USC is in for a tough game. And, you know, with LSU losing, the fans down in Tuscaloosa, they're going to be feeling pretty good about week one in college football.
Aren't you from Alabama, Kevin?
Roll Tide, according to one of our listeners. If you consider Alabama the northwest suburbs of Chicago, yes, I'm from Alabama.
Well, Colin Kaepernick discussion.
I was accused of being from the South. I'll just leave it at that.
Kevin Powell, Bama, Roll Tide. All right. Matt Ferrem, great job. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Matt.
We got news in 2 minutes, and then we'll hit on the stories that we missed coming up after 6:30. 720 WGN. Hope you had a great Saturday, and heading into your Saturday night, make it your best Saturday night ever.
What's the Carm doing tonight? Hot date?
Carm has got... all of a sudden going third person. I am hosting overnight tonight. So
that's right. Let's plug that. You and Esmeralda Leon, right?
Yes. 2 till 5 a.m. So when you are just in the middle of the night and you're thinking, man, I can't sleep. Who can help me?
Yeah.
I'm here for you tonight, baby.
Well,
Dan Long, you producing?
I am not.
You got the Joey Gelman.
Oh, that's right. Joey will be here. Joey's a young superstar Joey, huh?
No question. He did the Preps Plus with Sam and I last night.
Oh, how'd that go?
Went well.
That was the first Preps Plus of the season?
Second,
my
but
bad.
I missed the first week. I was off the grid in Wisconsin, bachelor party, survived that. So I missed week one. Sam held down the fort.
You showed up to that bachelor party, huh?
You're the best man.
You actually liked this guy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We had this conversation. That was a wedding. This one I can't miss. I actually had to organize. I was the best man. Have you ever been a best man and had to organize the bachelor party?
No, nobody.
It's not fun.
Nobody likes me to that level. Congratulations.
It's not. It's my second best man, dude. He's no big deal.
Wow. 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 How old are you again?
27.
So this is a 27-year-old getting married?
Yeah, my cousin's 27. We've been
good for him.
Good for him, but anyways, we're up in the Dells, and I had to organize that. When you're the best man, you kind of got to look over everything, you know what I mean? Like, I had to book the house we rented, I got to get people's payments, organize everything, get people directions, things like that, make sure nobody gets...
What goes on at a 27-year-old bachelor party in the Dells nowadays when you book a house?
Nice and quiet, few days in the Dells, calm, you know, playing cards, watching movies, things like that.
Right.
Maybe an alcoholic beverage here and there, but, you know, for the most part, just relaxing.
You guys get, like, one of those... slip and slide type of things for an outdoor.
Oh, dang, that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You should have been on the bachelor party planning committee.
I could have stepped in. Well, congratulations to your cousin, did you say?
Cousin Mike Allred, crushing it, weddings in a month.
Do you remember the bride's name this time?
Yes, this is Sarah. To recap, last time I was a Carm. It's sort of a long story. I'll give it to you quickly. My buddy got married like 3 weeks ago. And about 2 months ago, we were at a wedding with said buddy, and his now wife approached me at the wedding late night and said, Kevin, we're really sorry we didn't invite you to the wedding. You should come to the wedding in a few weeks. I was like, all right, you know, that's cool. And then they did actually send me an invitation in the mail, and I kind of forgot about it. And I was hosting with Carm while the wedding was going on, and all my friends were at the wedding. So I felt kind of like a jerk.
The bottom line was that Kevin was trying to make up all these excuses about how he had just forgotten and this, that. And I just boiled it down to brass tacks that you did not want to go to that wedding, and you didn't really care about those people. And eventually you admitted
to that. No, I cared about them, and I really do, Jason and Emily, great people. Friends of mine since
but not enough to alter your schedule.
But I'm like
you want good things for them. I'm not saying you don't care about them like that, but
I would
to alter
rather, like
yeah.
There's too many weddings in my life. Everyone stop getting married. Everyone just calm down with the marriages. All right.
Well, if you're
need a summer. I've had like last summer. I think I had 8 or 9 weddings. This summer, 5 or 6. I got a couple in the winter. Who gets married in the winter? I'm gonna freeze out there.
Yeah. No. The
bride's gonna freeze, and what is she gonna wear?
Will you come to my wedding if I ever have a wedding?
Your wedding? You're inviting me?
Absolutely.
I'll be there.
I can't not invite. I'm going to invite the whole station.
But, like, make it conveniently around my schedule.
Okay, good. 815 texting in, haircut of Diane Sawyer, then texting in, sorry, message not meant for you. Not sure who's hosting now.
Emoji, glass of wine, emoji, glass of wine.
Okay, so.
Having a good time, 815. I walked outside earlier, Carm, during a news break. It is absolutely gorgeous outside.
My new thing is going to be, that's a good move by you, get some fresh air.
That's right.
Long show, you got to stay fresh. That's my new thing now. Random texts that make no sense. We did this. Was that with you? I think it was like a running thing the whole show where it was just random texts from a guy that was like going to a campground. I think you were here. He was going to a campground. Whatever. It doesn't matter. This one from the 708. I'm going with bottled water, ice in the cooler on the bottom, followed by a my barbecue and Al's beef and another set of bottles. That might leave some space for a Coke. I don't know what any of that means, but...
That's a potential, somebody trying to text 312-981-7200, maybe put an extra zero in there, maybe an extra two, and text to the wrong person.
Okay.
I mean, that's completely out of context there, right? What were we even talking about?
Well, that was also not directed for us, but I
that's what I'm saying. You added an extra two into the number, nine.
You text us accidentally, we still talk about you. That's how much we're connected with our listeners and non-listeners, and a lot of people weighing in on the Ball Boy stuff, which thank you so much for your support. I'm really looking forward to training and getting my shoulder in shape so I can make the long throw from one end of the tennis court to another. If you're just joining the show, I'm planning on trying out to be a U.S. Open ball boy in 2017. Just got back from 3 days at the Open. Saw some amazing matches, incredible competition. Highly, highly, highly recommend it to you if you can make that work in your life.
Catching everybody just up on the sports news stuff, Wisconsin, a huge win over number 5 LSU. That game was played at Lambeau Field. Wisconsin beat LSU 16-14. Northwestern lost. Heartbreak of a loss. Controversial end. You're going to hear all about it. They fell to Western Michigan out of the MAC. Disappointing finish there. The Cubs lost to the Giants at Wrigley. Just a 3-2 loss. Nothing to worry about there. Anthony Rizzo, a huge base running mistake late in the ninth. Was thrown out at second, trying to possibly... He got kind of caught in between, trying to make a move to third, and he was in no man's land, got tagged out in second.
Right, Rizzo was on first base. Jason Hayward at the plate laid down a bunt, which looked like he was bunting for a hit, but a very solid play thrown out at first. Rizzo took the turn at second, thinking he was going to get all the way to third with only one out, but the Giants were all over it, threw behind him, tagged out at second. So
Kyle Long, four-year deal, 3 years, four-year deal, $40 million, 30 of it guaranteed, right guard for your Chicago Bears, reaching an agreement.
Yeah, and rewinding back to that Northwestern game, They were down one, had the football inside the 10-yard line. Clayton Thorson on a keeper, got to the goal line, was spun around, ball came loose, Western Michigan recovered, and they survive, winning by one. Painful loss for the Cats, no doubt about it, but hopefully they will just move on. And they got Kevin Powell's Fear the Bird, Illinois State Redbirds.
Fear the Bird!
At Ryan Field next weekend, 2:30.
You going to be there, Carm?
2:30
I'll
kick.
I'll be there.
Awesome. 2:30 kick, 2 o'clock pregame. We should hit up some Colonel Mustards for some...
Yeah, I'm going as a fan, strictly as a fan.
Okay.
My group of Redbirds, my flock of birds. So we'll be in the parking lot. I could walk right over to Mustards, get a dog.
Let's do post-game Mustards.
Post-game?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're staying.
What's the line situation like that? I've only been there...
Post-game, you'll be all right. 15 minutes tops.
Oh, okay. They know the drill by now.
Yeah. Scores from around the Big Ten today. Ohio State bombed Bowling Green 77-10. Michigan walloped Hawaii, who was actually playing their second game of the season. Hawaii playing that game in Sydney, Australia. But the Wolverines 63, the Rainbow 3. Games of note in the Big Ten. Iowa beat Miami of Ohio 45-21. What are you laughing at?
That's the way you deliver that Michigan-Hawaii score.
The rainbow.
The rainbow. They got completely destroyed. I wish I bet on that game.
Purdue, how about those Boilers? They had a new offensive coordinator in West Lafayette, and they beat Eastern Kentucky 45-24. Boiler up. Maryland shouldn't be a Big Ten school, but they are over Howard 52-13. Rutgers shouldn't be in the Big Ten either. They lost to Washington 48-13. Your birds,
they're in action. Right
they're
now.
In action right now. And Illinois, I meant to say Illinois. Lovey, look at you, Lovey Smith, 52-3 over Murray State. Wes Lunt, senior quarterback, 15-21, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns. College football is here, which is great, but it also makes me completely and utterly nauseous at the same
time. Summer's ending?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm driving down Lakeshore Drive, coming over to the station today, and I'm seeing people on the lake doing a little paddleboard or whatever they were doing, and I'm realizing it's over, kind of.
You know what? The weather this weekend is absolutely perfect, Carm. You wait till you step outside.
Can we just do it again?
The summer over?
Yes. Like, can we just go back? Let's just go back to May.
I absolutely love it.
It's so good, and what's coming is so bad. And this is not great radio, but I'm just feeling the pain.
Do you want an update on the Illinois State Redbirds score? Carm,
please.
Leading Valparaiso 7-3 at the end of the first quarter.
Fear the bird.
Fear the bird.
And then tonight, Northern Illinois and Wyoming. That's a 9:30 kickoff. So Husky fans,
Husky pride,
get your victory in view going. All right, Amy Guth is coming up at 7 for the Saturday night special. We've got a special golf deal that we're going to talk about coming back here too. And Kevin Powell, there's one story from the NBA today that I have to get out.
Okay.
It involves Pat Riley, it involves LeBron James, it involves Shaquille O'Neal, and it's really kind of pathetic but also great at the same time. 720 WGN. Kevin Powell has an important announcement for you. The Illinois PGA stepping up, right, Kev?
They are. This is September 6th. So this Tuesday at River Forest Country Club out in Elmhurst, a great cause. PGA professionals all from the around the state that participating in Birdies for Charity event. It raises funds for JDRF Illinois, Ronald McDonald House Charities, Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital, and the Illinois PGA Foundation. You go to ipgabirdiesforcharity.org. A bunch of PGA professionals, friends, family. You can sign up. You can donate. All for great causes. JDRF, of course, focus on type 1 diabetes research, all of those things. Phenomenal. JDRF.org. Again, this is September 6th. ipgabirdiesforcharity.org to donate or learn more.
You say JDRF, and the first thing I always think about is Ron Santo.
Of course.
And Ronnie, you are missed, man. And boy, would Ron Santo be enjoying himself this year. Mm-hmm. 39 games over 500. Are you kidding me? 39 over. If they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they win 101. If they lose every single game, they're over 500. They're so good.
You know, also, update on the Redbirds, Carm. They just recovered a fumble on the Valparaiso 5-yard line.
Did they really?
Probably going to score again soon.
Well, that's great.
They just scored. Up 14-3 in the second quarter. Redbirds, fear the bird.
Go Redbirds. All right. You know what I like in my life, Kevin? Dan? You?
Mm-hmm.
I like accuracy. I like
accuracy. You're going to need accuracy when you're trying out to be a ball boy at the U.S. Open, Carm.
That's right. So I know that this is Chicago, and when it comes to the NBA, we're about the Bulls. But just for a minute, let's place ourselves in Miami. Okay. Try to think about the history of that franchise. And they're the biggest acquisition they've ever had. There was an Alonzo Mourning. There was a Dwayne Wade.
There was a Shaquille O'Neal.
There was a Shaquille O'Neal.
There was a Mike Miller.
There was a Mike Miller. There was a LeBron James.
Yeah, that one was okay.
Okay. LeBron James came down there. They won two titles, went to the finals 4 straight years with him.
Not the 7 titles he had hoped for.
No, but still got you 2 and was there 4 years in a row. Pat Riley today, team president of your Miami Heat, who I think is still bitter apparently to this day that he let LeBron get back out of town. I'll say this, and I mean this, Pat Riley to the South Florida Sun Sentinel, thank you. Shaq's acquisition was bigger than any acquisition that we ever made, including the big three.
No, it wasn't.
Zoe was big, but getting Shaq changed everything.
I mean, I guess that's a decent point. I mean, for future right? I mean, for moving forward and future. I know you got LeBron James.
You got
won.
LeBron.
No one. Remember, Miami was a dark horse in that whole thing. Like, nobody thought he would go to Miami. And then Stephen A. Smith was the one that first started reporting. It was him or Broussard, one of those two. And everyone's like, nah, he's not going there. He's going to Chicago. Wasn't it here, New York, or staying in Cleveland?
I mean, I thought he was staying in Cleveland.
I thought he was coming here for a little bit. Wasn't there a moment where you're like, oh, man, I think we're going to get LeBron?
Well, you listen to Dwayne Wade. Like, that was on the table.
Yeah.
But they couldn't quite make it all work out, which is crazy to think about.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
I was doing radio in Kansas City at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City does not have an NBA team. But
they're
like,
who's the team there if they are following a team?
That's a good question. I mean, they consider Kansas to be an NBA team, but if it's not, or you're a Mizzou fan, I'm trying to think who else they would even. I don't even know. I don't know who they consider.
Probably the Bulls.
Maybe it's the Bulls. Who knows? But Oklahoma City, I'm not sure. That never resonated. They don't like the NBA basically in Kansas City. But they had me do this NBA show. And I ended up getting a 21 rating on it because LeBron had captured the entire world.
You got a 21 share?
Yeah, 21 share because...
For anybody, that means like one out of five people were listening, which is like...
Unheard of in radio.
Monster numbers.
Yeah.
Like monsters. It's like Wally Phillips numbers.
Right. Because I was incredible, let's be honest here. But
you were the Wally Phillips of basketball sports radio in Kansas City.
For 5 seconds. They're like, can you do 2 hours tonight? And then at 9, they're like, can you do one more? Because
I think Carm could do an 8-hour show on the NBA if you let him go.
That one was up my alley. And
perfect.
So, but the point is that, like, LeBron James was capturing Kansas City, man. Places that didn't care about the NBA at all. You got that guy to come to Miami.
I don't know if this is like a really weird thing, but I remember watching LeBron make his stupid decision, and I can remember where I remember where I was moments, which is kind of embarrassing,
right?
But I don't know why it just sticks with me. I know exactly where I was.
I mean, you got that dude. The whole world was captivated. He won you two titles. You went 4 straight years. You can't sit here and say that Shaquille O'Neal was the biggest acquisition after you lose him, Pat Riley, you sour puss.
Plus, Shaq had, what, 2 good years there? 3 good years he broke down.
He was nothing for you. He was Wade led you to a title. Shaq was supporting. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. So just, you know what? When somebody does you wrong in life or you get,
if you're ever interested in Pat Riley, like the guy is, that's like a military situation down there.
Right?
Have you heard how he runs the Miami Heat organization? They have this beautiful basketball complex and it's all glass, the practice court. And it faces out on the water. And Pat Riley, he's like, nah. So they have giant curtains covering all of that.
Got to be focused.
It's very, very strict.
Kendall Gill told me some great stories about Riley kicking guys out of practice who weren't ready, who weren't dedicated.
Have you encountered the Pat Riley in person?
I've had a little Riley. Yeah. Enjoyed. I don't have any big moments with him. All right, Amy Guth is up next. We'll take a quick time. I'll talk to Amy, get her set for her show. We will be saying goodbye next, 720 WGN.